Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We are live the 28th day of September 2010 on this Tuesday edition. There was an early morning scare at the University of Texas in the main student library. Someone came in at about 8 o'clock in the morning and began shooting. They claim an automatic rifle. That probably means it was bolt action. They call everything an automatic rifle these days. And then reportedly killed himself. No one else was shot or injured, thank God. But we then saw the police say that there was a second shooter. Then they changed that story 30 minutes later and said there might be another suspect. And here we are almost 4 hours later. They've got all of UT basically locked down. We've got Matt Ryan and Jason Douglas down there to give us a report coming up in the next segment. But now I see these reports even in the town I live in, and it always happens around deer season. A deer hunter will walk out to their car from their apartment or their house, put a deer rifle in the back of the truck to go to the shooting range or go hunting in one of the hunting preserves, outside Austin, Texas, one of their deer leases. And the police get called, and SWAT teams will lock down whole neighborhoods, shut down nearby schools, all part of this fear-mongering. And that goes with a report out of Wisconsin where activists are having open concealed carry to exercise their right, and they're being arrested and charged even though there's no law. And that connects to a report out of Maryland where they were trying to put the guy in jail for 7 years for videotaping cops when they pull him over when he's riding his motorcycle. He was already videotaping. He had it mounted on his motorcycle helmet for a YouTube video. A lot of motorcyclists do that. And he was recklessly driving, even in his own admission. He was doing some wheelies down the highway, and the undercover cop pulls him over, points a gun at him, freaks out. The guy posted on YouTube, and they charge him with wiretapping. And the federal judges said, look, this isn't wiretapping. There's no perception of privacy in public. That's how the government puts up cameras watching the general population. Same thing goes for the police. And the police knew that. They knew the law. But all over the country, they've been charging people in 14 states this year alone with videotaping police. And Maryland's one of the worst, sometimes from hundreds of yards away. Even at public events, they'll come arrest you and then charge you. So we're going to be discussing some of that coming up today. Obviously, gold has hit $1,307 and is still climbing, even though the big central banks are trying to push it down because it exposes the fact that they're printing so much fiat currency and that their derivatives are basically worthless. We're going to be discussing that coming up after this quick break. Brazil's finance minister warns of international currency war, U.S. economy close to destructive tipping point. Former top Bush advisor Glenn Hubbard says, talk about the foxes reporting on how dangerous weasels are in the hen house. Dollar trades near five-month low before U.S. housing sentiment reports. Bloomberg experts see gold price rising to $1,450 in the near future. Financial Times of London. UPI outside view gold at $1,300 an ounce. Continuing here with these reports, money transfers could face anti-terrorism scrutiny. Washington Post. China set to take center stage in gold market. They are printing too much money. Kitco reports got a shocking graph showing how much money federal government's printing. Another top expert, Paulson, says gold could hit $4,000 an ounce. Continuing here, get ready for the fixed income bloodbath, CNBC. That is just some of what's coming up in the economic stack today. In the politics stack, the Democrats are pledging in their lame duck Congress after the election to try to pass 20 bills through, all of which are extremely unconstitutional and unpopular. But John Kerry says Democrats are set to lose the House and maybe the Senate because you're too stupid to know that globalism is good for you. That is all coming up. But first, we'll get a quick report from downtown Austin on the individual that reportedly fired a weapon and then shot himself. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It is Tuesday, the 28th day of September 2010. Coming up, NATO choppers cross into Pakistan chasing insurgents. CNN reports Wall Street Journal drones target terror plot, accelerate attacks inside Pakistan. Of course, you know about the good news that was announced last week, Italy to abandon airport naked body scanners. But Big Brother is fighting back. It's part of a global governance continuity of agenda. Big Sis tries to force body scanners on other countries amidst backlash. Got to make sure the Chertoff Group and the naked body scanner companies make billions. They're trying to force 190 nations to adopt the naked body scanners, reports USA Today. We're going to be breaking that down. Also, huge attacks on the internet after Israel reportedly launched the worm attack on Iran last weekend. Here's the LA Times headline. U.S. should be able to shut internet down, former CIA chief says. Mr. Hayden, they're just out in the open. Here's another headline that got Drudge linked by Paul Joseph Watson at PrisonPlanet.com. New cybersecurity bill gives Obama power to shut down companies. Been reporting on this for months, but it's finally getting attention. It says they can take over any companies they want and make all IT professionals be federally certified. And they make you take a national security clearance so they can have gag orders on you. That's why they're making 11,000 TSA workers get high-level security clearances, so they can also feed them disinformation and fake news to scare them. And so they can also then not let the public know the propaganda that they're pipelining to them. But more importantly, so they can make all their abusive activities secret under national security. Anti-net neutrality bill gets leaked from Waxman's office. It's basically a mirror of the, quote, secret global treaty the U.S. is trying to get ratified right now. And federal news radio is reporting Cyberstorm 3 uses internet to attack itself. So they're wargaming how to bring down the internet in the name of protecting it, and you know who'll be the ones that bring it down. We're going to be going over all of this coming up. That's just some of the news and information that we have here. Who is watching you? Nine industries that know your every move. This is a report out of Daily Finance that we're going to be going over. Because remember that headline a few weeks ago where Google says they've acquired a software company with Pentagon connections that can, quote, predict the future by tracking your every move? Well, that's what they're announcing. The headline was exclusive. Google CIA invest in future of web monitoring. And it continues. It says that the investment arm of the CIA and Google are both backing a company that monitors the web in real time and says it can use that information to predict the future. Wired Magazine. Now, that's from a few weeks ago, or July 28th, actually a few months ago. Here is the Buffalo News Today. Technology identifies troubled individuals, and it admits that law enforcement's now having access to basically everything you do in real time, just no pretense of a Fourth Amendment. And that it, quote, can predict your crimes before you supposedly commit them. And, of course, this technology is a fraud, and we've caught them many times planting blood samples on people, planting DNA evidence on individuals, faking fingerprints for decades. That technology has been available. And, of course, now lie detector tests are inadmissible in court because they've been proven to be a fraud. So they're moving from that old-fashioned fraud and quackery to high-tech fraud. So that's going to be coming up. Also, cops charge open carry activist in Wisconsin who didn't commit a crime. But the system doesn't care. They say, we don't care. We're still going to charge you if you open carry and try to demonstrate that your rights are inalienable. But the police tried the same thing in Maryland. This is out of the Associated Press. Wiretap charges tossed in videotaping of trooper. So that is coming up. But the scary issue here is the police on every front, at least their commanders on every front, are showing their anti-free speech, anti-First Amendment, anti-press, anti-Bill of Rights. And it's very scary that they'll arrest people exercising the Second Amendment lawfully and say, we don't care. Or they'll arrest people in 14 states and charge them with felonies for videotaping police, in some cases in their own homes. That's citizens in their own homes or citizens in their own businesses. I've seen cases where the police will raid a business, in one case a health food store, and then the store put on YouTube surveillance camera footage from the raid, and they indicted them. This is amazing. This is incredible that the police know full well this is not wiretapping. They know full well, but they still charge you with it. Wiretapping is going over to somebody's telephone box and hooking a recorder onto it and recording their conversations without a warrant. And the police can get in trouble for that. It's a felony. General citizens can. Wiretapping is planting a camera in your ex-girlfriend's apartment. You see those cases all the time. Wiretapping or spying on someone or violating their privacy is climbing over their back fence and watching them through their window. That's called prowling. And it's that body of law. It's getting in someone's private area or private communications. All right. We take you now to downtown Austin at the University of Texas. They're right up there at the picket line to give you a quick report on this. Police on scene of shooting on UT campus. A gunman who fired several shots on the University of Texas campus in the library is dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound, and police are looking for a possible second suspect, officials say. First, it was a second gunman to just shut down UT and say, don't leave your homes, don't be down there. They're down there trying to tell people they can't even walk on the street. And this shooting happened 4 hours ago, four plus hours ago, right now. And so they've got much of UT shut down. Armored vehicles are down there, you name it. And just as a matter of course, they're just saying they think there could be a second gunman. Now it's a second suspect. And so we'll definitely learn more as this unfolds. But thank God more people weren't hurt. Only person hurt reportedly was the alleged shooter. And I take you now to Matt Ryan and Jason Douglas, who are on the street reporting for Infowars.com to give us a in-person view of what's going on down there at the University of Texas at Austin. Matt Ryan, what's happening?
Oh, right now there's a lot of confusion down here. Police still reportedly trying to sort out what happened. The gun is apparently been identified as an AK-47, which is a standard assault rifle. We currently have helicopters flying overhead. I've seen SWAT teams going back and forth with towns, apparently trying to sniff out somebody, if anybody. They're trying to evacuate the entire area. There's been sirens going off constantly with warnings from the police to evacuate immediately. And beyond that, they're just waiting to determine if there even is a second shooter. There's a lot of confusion regarding
that. Did the police, Matt Ryan, try to tell you to leave?
Not at this time. We showed up. We asked for the press staging area, and they were nice enough to allow us the permission to report on the story.
They were nice enough to allow you? Because you have a First Amendment right. I mean, you couldn't be in the library right now, but in the past they would just put up crime scene tape, 30 feet in front of it, and that was basically the common law upheld in court. But now they've reportedly pushed people back over a mile, correct?
Correct, on either side, actually. I'm hearing a lot of chitter-chatter between different reporters. They're having trouble setting up staging areas. There's the boundaries, though, and that's pretty far as the boundaries for press. And if you're a regular citizen, not identifying yourself as the press is even further.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, we're glad they're not violating your First Amendment, but I wouldn't say they're really allowing you to do this. My issue is, we know the Russians have been caught staging shootings at schools as a pretext to crack down. Columbine, very suspicious. A lot of evidence that was a staged event, according to witnesses and a lot of intel. And over 120 propane bombs were brought in that morning beforehand, CBS News reported. But all of that got shut down. The school was more than half empty that day because word had been given that the shooting was going to happen. Harris and Kleibold had made a school-sponsored video about a mass shooting at the school, and I find it very suspicious that they've locked everything down. And, you know, this could have been part of a drill. We don't know. And we know they have had many unannounced drills at private businesses, public schools, secondary schools, college, high school. So I find this new trend of pushing people back. The news is reporting over a mile will really allow them to cover up what's happening. We see the news reports of armored vehicles down there. Technically, do you know exactly how far they've pushed people back for this show of force circus?
Again, with all the confusion, I know a lot of reporters are having trouble actually getting word to their stations that, of exactly where the staging grounds are set up. They either keep moving them or keep pushing them back. But one thing I did find interesting is this all started around 8:28 a.m. with the first report of a shooter in the library. Within a half hour, the report was that the shooter had shot themselves. There might be a second shooter, and it's because of that supposed second shooter that everything's been locked down for so long. Helicopters are just constantly circling overhead, looking for a shooter that is possibly long gone by now.
Well, I mean, let's remember that with Charles Whitman in 1966, that... You know, he killed a lot of people and then himself was taken out by Austin police officers, that UT really was one of the first places in modern history where we've seen these type of mass shootings take place. So this is a real sore spot, a painful spot for UT alumni, UT students, and Austinites. Stay there, Matt Ryan. I want to get more from you on the scene of this shooter who fired his weapon reportedly and then took his own life. Find it very unusual that no one else was wounded. This thing stinks to high heaven. The way they've got this locked down, it's very suspicious. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we take you back live to the University of Texas on the edge of the main campus where they have locked things down. And if you go back, the reason I'm suspicious about this And the way they lock these scenes down now and claim there's another shooter and then, well, a person of interest, is we have so many cases where they'll get some hopped-up mental patient in a public school, in a university, and then shoot a few people. They'll have a shooter dressed similar to the nutcase. Then they'll kill the nutcase and use that as a pretext to crack down on the Second Amendment. Now, this may just be some type of mentally ill lunatic or some enviro-Nazi, eco-fascist, like we saw a few weeks ago, at the Discovery Channel Center, who thinks there's too many humans. So now I guess we're down one less moron when the SWAT team took him out. So that could be the case as well. But Matt Ryan, any other observations you've made down there on the scene before we talk to Jason Douglas, who's down there with you?
Well, one thing we just noticed, looking overhead, seeing the helicopters actually flying lower and lower with each pass, they don't have any markings of police helicopters. They actually look quite military. And one thing Douglas will tell you, I can hand it over to him, is we actually are seeing some military on the scene.
Well, that's a huge development. Are you getting videotape of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it look like a National Guard, Army, or does it look like MP uniforms?
One thing we've seen, full fatigue along with berets, so it may just be a standard Army. We are seeing one police helicopter flying overhead, but also a lot of unmarked black helicopters. We're going to have to look at our footage to see exactly.
Now, black helicopters don't exist, Matt Ryan.
They don't. Well, there's two of them flying overhead right now.
Of course, they now admit they have a fleet of thousands of them. It blew me away last night. I'm going to talk about it later. We monitor Glenn Beck because we're making a documentary about him in part. And it was like watching my show. It was Obama has 500 naked body mobile trucks that look through your walls. It's total tyranny. They've got an assassination list of U.S. citizens. We're going into Nazi Germany. Everything we covered 2 weeks ago, word for word. But he kept saying Obama. Obama is continuing everything Bush did and everything Clinton did because it's the shadow government, the boys in those black helicopters, the men in black that run this country, not the ceremonial Congress. Very interesting. Continue to try to get video and get back as soon as you can, and we'll just grab raw clips out of the footage of the military. This is big breaking news, but if they are wearing black berets, that is the standard Army issue. Hand it over to Jason Douglas. Matt,
all right.
Good job. Matt Ryan reporting for Infowars.com. Jason Douglas, what are you seeing down there?
Well, when we first arrived on the scene, they had cordoned off a pretty close to the campus an area. So we pulled immediately in to ask where the press staging ground was. When we pulled in, that's when I saw the gentleman dressed in fatigues with a beret on. He was actually driving by as I was asking the state trooper where we should set up. So I didn't get to get footage of him directly and find out what unit he was with or, you know, why he's here. He was driving away in a car.
Oh, but I mean, to be clear, you've only seen one guy then, or because Matt Ryan's saying he got footage of it.
Right. We split up. And what happened was Matt Ryan was staying at the press staging ground because he has a tripod, and he said that he saw some men in a green jumpsuit that looked military. They could have been SWAT, but most likely, trained military in some sort of
not if they were situation. Wearing not if they were wearing black berets. That's U.S. Army standard issue
like,
for
were
everybody.
They wearing berets? The ones that I saw, the ones in the jumpsuits were wearing helmets and gray, basically a gray jumpsuit.
No, that's Austin SWAT team.
Okay, green jumpsuit.
No, it looks like a Border Patrol uniform.
Exactly. Yeah, and the one that I saw was driving away in a car. So we were in two separate locations when this went down.
Okay, I want to clarify that and then come back to you, Douglas, after the break briefly. And then we'll wrap up this report from now, but get you to pop back in later when you get back to studio, or unless you guys think you should stay down there, we'll come back to you in the middle of the next hour after I cover news and take calls. But briefly, hand the phone back to Matt Ryan because you guys split up. I want to get specifically what type of military-type personnel he saw.
Just a minute. All right.
Matt, to be specific, he's saying he saw somebody in a black beret and camouflage in a car. What specifically did you see military-wise? Describe it as best you can.
Well, one thing I did see were the individuals traveling in groups with dogs, green jumpsuits, crew cuts, some of them wearing black helmets. They were traveling in a pretty large group. Again, I couldn't determine if they were SWAT. They looked military, but they may have in fact been SWAT. I was referring mostly to the sighting that Douglas said earlier.
Okay, the helicopters though.
Definitely black unmarked helicopters.
Mm-hmm. They've got gray ones too in Central Texas that we know are command helicopters. I'm probably going to pull you guys in here soon. Or I may have one of you stay there, one of you bring the tapes you've got back, because I want to see these helicopters before the show ends today and be able to show viewers what's happening with that. Stay there, Matt Ryan. We'll come right back to you.
To the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, you're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, we're going to finish up our live report from the University of Texas here in a moment and get into all the other news. We're also going to be opening the phones up in the rest of this hour and in the second hour today. In the third hour, Alex Abella will be joining us. And he is the New York Times bestselling author and Emmy-nominated TV reporter and screenwriter. Alex Abella is an author of Soldiers of Reason, The Rand Corporation, and The American Empire, a study of the world's most influential think tank, published by Harcourt. Alex was the first journalist to have full access to Rand's files in Santa Monica, California. And they didn't like the result of his book, I'll tell you that. He also wrote the nonfiction work, includes Shadow Enemies, a nonfiction account of a plot by Adolf Hitler to start a wave of terror and destruction in the United States. We'll talk to him about that as well. He was also born in Cuba, migrated with his family to the United States at age 10. So we'll get his view also on what it's like to live in an authoritarian state. Going to be a very informative and thought-provoking interview coming up in the third hour today. But we now take you live back to the University of Texas, where a lone shooter reportedly, allegedly, government lies so much you never can believe really anything they say, but sometimes there are lone nuts, supposedly opened fire, but no one was shot or killed, thank God, and then reportedly killed himself. Then they said somebody else might have been with him, and that's who they're looking for, and that's their excuse to be clamping down on the university and trying to keep the press more than a mile back. Any other observations, Matt Ryan, that you or Douglas have to make here?
Right now, Douglas is over getting a statement from Austin Police Department. So we might have more information for you on that. It looks like the two helicopters we saw earlier, the unmarked black helicopters, or dark helicopters to be more specific, have left, and they've been replaced by one black and white, clearly identifiable APD helicopter.
Now, how did you just describe the helicopters? DARC or DARPA?
DARC. They were either a darkish gray, a black, or a deep olive.
Yeah, generally they're blackish gray because they have a radar-reducing paint on them, and they're also designed for night missions, and FEMA has them, Homeland Security, NORTHCOM, Brigade Homeland, and we do know that more and more military is showing up in places like Alabama and California at shooting scenes. You want to walk over to Douglas where he's getting this statement?
Sure.
So while he's moseying over to Douglas, our reporter, getting a videotaped statement from the Austin Police Department, I'll just again add that Charles Whitman, back in 1966, and we'll put the Wikipedia page up on him, of course, fired from the UT Tower. And in fact, blow that up so I can read it. I believe he killed 14 people and wounded quite a few more. And indeed, my memory serves correctly. Charles Joseph Whitman was a student at the University of Texas at Austin and an ex-Marine who killed 14 people, wounded 32 others during a shooting rampage at and around the university campus in August 1st, 1966. And he would have killed a lot more if the SWAT teams would have showed up and made everybody stand down. But they didn't have SWAT teams then. They were just being formed in L.A. at the time. So they just sent good old-fashioned cops up to blow that guy away. Saved a lot of lives. Let's go to the cell phone connection with the statement from the Austin Police Department, see what we can get. Here it is. Matt, are you now there where he's getting the statement?
They're not giving a statement at the moment. Let me see. I'm over. They're actually sweeping the cars around the area with canine patrol, so I was shooting that.
Okay. Anything else in closing you want to add about what you've seen down there?
I think that we covered everything that we saw. I did overhear that one of the gunmen, I believe it was the one that didn't commit suicide, was running down the street near UT, and I guess he ducked inside of a church for cover. And that was the only bit of information that I was able to pick up.
But during these situations, there's a lot of panicking. I mean, just because somebody, an old lady or a cab driver, who knows, said they saw someone running while they heard a shooting was going on. I mean, what do you expect people to do?
Exactly.
I mean, so on the ground, they're still talking about other shooters because, you know, going back 3 hours ago, they'd already stopped saying that and just said another suspect.
You know, this was gleaned from some other reporters. We were over by the news van. So it's definitely hearsay. I don't know if they're switching their story, but they seemed like they were going with that story, the news.
Yeah, hyping the fear, milking the fear for everything.
Exactly.
You
don't want it to be over.
Do you think, let me ask you this question on air. What's your gut, Douglas? You want to come on in with the video you've got so we have time to grab a few clips and play them in the next hour of these black helicopters and some of the military people? Or do you guys think you should stay down there?
Well, I don't think much is happening here anymore, and right after we shot and you started mentioning the black helicopters are gone. They've now been replaced by, you know, regular police black and white helicopters.
But you do have the black helicopters on video.
I do have a shot of the helicopters on video.
Okay, well, why don't you guys come on in right now?
Okay, will do.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good job reporting down there at the University of Texas at Austin again. The reported shooter is dead. Great news that no one else was injured or killed. Certainly a big silver lining in that situation. I want to fire out the toll-free number for listeners to join us. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll take a round or two of calls as soon as the second hour kicks off ahead of the guests we've got on the RAND Corporation and a lot more. A very interesting researcher and historian joining us coming up in the third hour, specifically Emmy-nominated TV reporter as well. So looking forward to that coming up in T-minus 1 hour and 20 minutes from now here on the syndicated radio transmission. I did want to throw in for listeners that the tour of the new studio we're building in the last year that's now completed, we just have to put the equipment in, is up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's also at the Alex Jones Channel on YouTube. You can click on any news article at Infowars.com, and there's some little links up at the top. You'll see the YouTube symbol. You can click on that. It'll take you to our channel. And we are hoping ahead of the money bomb and our goal to raise $500,000, which anybody that's built a TV studio knows that's a pittance, really. But that'll get it done, and even hire a few of the people we need for the next year, as we're doing it on the cheaps, that people can start donating now to the money bomb if they want. But the big drive will be on October 14th, 2010, coming up in about 16, 17 days from now. But for all of you that wanted to see that tour of the new studios and a behind the scenes here at the office, that video is up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I wanted to thank all those that have already donated. We've raised over $30,000 at the money bomb. The problem is this operation cost around $200,000 a month to run. And as the economy continues to melt down and our audience swells, the capital is slowing. And so it's important to buy the books, the DVDs, the T-shirts, all the materials that are deeply discounted at Infowars.com as one way to support, or just straight up donate at InfowarsMoneyBomb.com. And if we're able to do that, we'll be able to expand the studio, launch that in a quicker fashion. If not, I'm going to have to make some adjustments, and we don't want to do that. We need to not just stay where we're at in the info war, which is hard enough, but expand in the face of it. And we couldn't have done any of this without you. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. Again, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. And we certainly appreciate all of that support. Let me get into some good news on the police state front first, and then I'll get into the really bad news. But the bad news is even good news, because now this is all more and more out in the open. We can actually have a debate about it and warn people. And remind me, listeners, callers, if after I take your calls, if I don't get into it, I just briefly wanted to talk about this. Later this afternoon, we're going to post a 15-minute video at PrisonPlanet.tv, but also on the Alex Jones Channel for everybody, of my breakdown of Glenn Beck. To oversimplify, you know, when I've said I didn't really watch Glenn Beck, and now we're watching him and I've got a different view, to be specific, we watched him quite a bit off and on, and watched YouTube boil downs and read what he'd said, and I'd listen to the radio once a week or so. So there's no doubt this is a different Glenn Beck than was there 3 years ago, 2 years ago, or even 6 months ago. Yesterday, he talked about 500 Homeland Security mobile vans that fire high-powered radiation through your walls, dwarfing a chest X-ray. And he said how horrible this was in Total Big Brother. This is when I walked into the coffee room where we monitor him each day, because it's right by Jacobson's office. Jacobson's in there taking notes. And he was just writing notes. It was word for word what we covered 2 weeks ago. Word for word. Our interpretation, our take, word for word. Then he went on to say the government's creating a secret list of citizens they want to secretly kill. This is horrible, he said. But he said Obama is giving you the 500 X-ray machines looking through your walls. He said Obama is creating a list of citizens to kill, which I guess technically is true. It's the Obama administration, but all of this was started decades ago. It's now coming to a head. So that's the big kicker. And so we know Beck's people monitor the show and load his teleprompter with everything I cover, word for word. So get it right, okay? Obama's horrible. He's terrible. He's a globalist reading off a teleprompter, just like you are. But you're fighting the globalists more and more. But stop making everybody think that Obama did all of this, because as soon as a Republican gets back in, we're going to be here. Hopefully, I'll still be alive or on air. I know others will still be around. They can't get everybody. And we're going to be saying, wait a minute, you said naked body scanners were bad. You said these systems scanning people's homes were bad. And obviously they are. It's dwarfs 1984. You had better cover this. See, they're making the whole global government about Obama and a few unsavory professors like Cass Sunstein. And whereas they are villains, they're junior villains. And so that's still the big blind spot. And let me tell you something. Glenn Beck's as sharp as a razor blade, and so are his writers and the giant crew he's got. And they know full well what they're doing. So there's no doubt, in summation, the Republican Party knows that the Patriot Movement's documented world government. They can't deny it's real anymore. And so they're going to say, oh, yes, we're fighting world government. It's the Democrats. And I will say the Democrats, you know, they drive the bus off the cliff at 150 miles an hour, and the Republicans do it at about 100. But I'd rather have it drive off the cliff of 150 because people wake up under snotty-nosed Obama and Rahm Emanuel. They go to sleep under a Republican. So all the gains we've made in the accelerated awakening, where is that going to go when the Republicans are back in power? I mean, are they going to repeal all this Obama stuff? Only if we keep their feet to the fire. So that's what I'm saying. People say, well, why are you reporting on Glenn Beck every other day? The guy reaches 10 to 15 million people a week with his radio show and TV show combined. That's conservative. Okay, the guy is an icon now. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And he's taking my material and using it. And I wouldn't have a problem with that if he wasn't behind the scenes telling people don't do interviews on Alex's show and trying to block me. But I guess he feels like, you know, if I break through, and of course we have more viewers on the web and more listeners and dwarf his different websites together with InfoWars and Prison Planet. But on television and mainstream radio, he just completely eclipses us. I'd say by an order of 10. On the web, we dominate Beck. And that's why we're driving with the young people and the new generation and a large cross-section of general society as well, but particularly young people, the change, so they have to report on it. But it is a weird feeling to have what I do taken and then changed and twisted and regurgitated back out to the point of I get emails saying, you're copying Glenn Beck. Well, no, we don't copy anything Glenn Beck does. I do like the same style, though. You know, in the old days, you watch videos from Alex Jones 10 years ago, you'd see me with a sports jacket, a white shirt, and a rep tie. So, I mean, I was planning to actually dress like that for 3 years on the TV studio I've been planning. Question is, now they'll say I'm copying Glenn Beck. But I guess in that case, it will be true. The same taste on clothing. I don't know. I'm done talking about it. It's strange to say I'm going to make a movie about the co-opting of the Tea Party and then to in-depth start watching Beck. And when we, by the way, we've gone back and watched shows from just a year ago. People are saying, well, Alex, you weren't intensely watching. He was always like this. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was for the Patriot Act, for torture, for banker bailouts. Now he's against all of that. And so I'm pleased that you, the audience of this show predominantly, has forced Beck and Limbaugh to a great extent. Limbaugh's admitting that the government wants to destroy the economy to make you dependent now. Savage is talking about fluoride being put in the water to give you cancer. I mean, there are changes. And I've been listening to Savage almost every week for 6-7 years, and I can tell you he's gotten more hardcore. You didn't hear Michael Savage say the government may blow up buildings to set up martial law. He says that every week now. I mean, I randomly listen driving into work, driving home, and Savage is on when I'm driving home at 6 or 7 every night, and I'll listen maybe 2-3 times a week, and I just randomly turn it on, and it's fluoride's going to give you cancer by design. You know, they're poisoning the vaccines. The government may stage terror attacks. The Republicans are controlled by the same megabanks. So more than just Alex Jones pushing Beck to be more hardcore, I hear Savage kind of get angry about Limbaugh, particularly Sean Hannity now, and Beck stealing what he covers. And listening to Savage, I can say he's original. He doesn't need our information. He already knows what's going on. These guys are all real smart. Savage is probably the smartest. Well, not probably. He's clearly the smartest of the bunch because I know history. I know medicine. I've done a lot of research across the wide spectrum. And let me tell you, Savage knows what he's talking about. And overall, it just shows the fact that this information is so widespread now that none of these guys can ignore it and stay relevant. But bottom line, there's a big video coming out later this afternoon that'll be on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com where we really put it on the line for Beck and say, hey, We challenge you to get more hardcore. You've gotten a lot better. We don't trust you, though. Let's see you go all the way. Because I can't sit here and say, Beck, stop covering up all this stuff, and then he starts covering it, and then I'm still saying, oh, I hate Glenn Beck. I'm not endorsing Glenn Beck. Let's be clear about that. I'm not saying I trust him as far as I could throw him. What I'm saying is he's going in an encouraging direction. He's going in a very encouraging direction. And I'm telling you, in less than a year, if he continues to get more hardcore every week, he'll have his blood vessels bulging out on his temples, screaming, they want you dead. I mean, this whole week he's talking about the UN wanting to reduce world population by 80%, and he's only reading their own documents that we covered over a decade ago. This is very exciting. It's all covered in my film Endgame, by the way. Get four copies for $19.95, InfoWars.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I would have said what I was thinking earlier. I literally have studied these people so much that 9 times out of 10, I can accurately predict what they're going to do. There are student movements for open carry on campuses nationwide. And I meant to search it this morning. Was there any type of rally or event? And was this somebody who was going to be attending one of those events? Because there's been a lot going on in Texas. UT has pulled this off. Their Students for Liberty website does have it, though. Student movement update, John Lott at UT tonight at 6 p.m., he was scheduled, and if he's still scheduled, we need to get down there. Of course, the famous professor we've had on many times, more guns, less crime. We have police in Wisconsin arresting people for no reason when they have open carry. This is incredible. And my gut was that they staged the event where the guy shot the gun in the air outside the Capitol as a pretext, put metal detectors in and try to stop senators and House members from carrying their own guns, which they then tried to do. They got the metal detectors in but didn't disarm the Congress people or their secretaries or staff. And I had a feeling that regardless, this would be used to stop open carry on UT, a big movement that's happening so people aren't just sitting ducks like we saw, you know, at previous college shootings. And this is huge breaking news. Watson is going to be on at 8 after. I'm going to give him a breakdown, boil down of a report I want him to issue. But he's going to get this full text of student movement update, John Lott at UT Austin. Tonight was supposed to be a presentation by John Lott on more guns, less crime. It was an event on UT Law Events calendar. But the link from UT site has been taken down. And we've confirmed that that was the case. Get John Lott's office right now. Call his office. We've been on. Comment. And if we can't find the number, we can call Larry Pratt and get it. Yeah, let's get the UT Longhorns on or the UT Federalist Society. Just go after them all. Good job. And if you can get them, we'll go into fourth hour live. This is huge breaking information. And I was running through the different permutations in my mind this morning, driving in, and then I was here, and I almost said this on air. I wish I would have. Doesn't matter. It's so incredible. It's so incredible. And the way they've locked everything down, the way they're covering up. We'll cover this at the 8 after and then go to your phone calls. This is just amazing. Shifting gears to Ted Anderson for this segment. Ted, gold has hit $1,307 an ounce. In fact, it may have even gone higher. I haven't been watching since I've been covering the shooting. How high did gold go today, Ted?
Well, so far, $1,310. And silver's up to $2,172, almost to $22 an ounce.
Unbelievable. Ted, we've been telling people that this is happening because the dollar's being devalued. And now I've got Bloomberg, dollar trades near 5-month low before U.S. housing sentiment reports. They're reporting, you've got this top former Bush official, Glenn Hubbard, saying close to due destructive tipping point. That's in Yahoo Finance. Experts see gold price rising to $1,450. It's just simple math that the gold futures are at $1,500 in the month of December. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're in a bull market now, Alex, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see us blow right through $1,400 an ounce, because now we've passed that $1,300, and, you know, I mean, $1,310.
We're going to break, Ted. Let me come back for a minute or two and finish with you in the next hour before we report on this UT shooting situation. Did a hitman just kill some open carry person down there? Now they're going to say he was a killer or something. I mean, that's what my gut told me when I got a call at 8:30 this morning from Matt Ryan. I mean, I just instantly, the whole thing flashed, and now all the evidence shows that. I mean, what's the chances of this? Ted, stay there. Stay there. I want to get more into the economy and gold.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're going to be going to your phone calls in the next segment and breaking down. They were going to have an open carry event calling for open carry on universities at UT tonight with John Lott. And even mainline hosts like Limbaugh have pointed out every time the Democrats are trying to pass an anti-gun bill, they have a mass shooting, and there's always suspicious things that go on around it. We've confirmed in New Zealand and in Australia and Tasmania and in Scotland, and the government has been caught staging events to basically ban guns. And this is very, very, very suspicious. But finishing up with Ted Anderson, Ted, gold, $1,310 an ounce. This is just incredible. And it is because globally currencies are being devalued in a coordinated stratagem, according to the G20. They've got the big central banks out bad-mouthing gold everywhere. But when gold does increase in price in this bad economy, even though it's well worth it because of inflation, how is it going to continue to go up if the general public doesn't have money to buy it? I guess it's because big institutions are buying it now?
Well, I mean, it isn't so much that gold is going up, it's that the dollar is going down. Yu Yangding, the former advisor of China's central bank, was speaking in Singapore and talking about how the United States debt in the United States is one step nearer to a crisis. The debt level is just climbing way too high. And China holding on to so many U.S. government treasuries, you got to realize that if they start liquidating those assets into the marketplace, that's going to trade the dollar lower.
Well, China just legalized importation of gold. They've always only allowed it to be basically through the government. And the government's now signaling for the Chinese people to get it as a hedge against inflation and collapse. So, all the major indicators are gold and silver are only going to go up in the long term. But it looks like even in the short term, Ted, I haven't talked to you yet today. I know you were still holding those insane deals from gold you bought 2-3 weeks ago. Have you run out of all that silver and gold? And if so, what is the new price?
Well, the silver is still at the same price. I'm still holding the Walkers at $10.50. The Franks went up just a little bit. They're at $283.62, but you still get a full year subscription to Bob Chapman's newsletter.
But a lot of folks have already got that. I mean, what if folks, if they want to buy a bunch of Franks, what do they get them for?
Yeah, they're $283.62. You can buy as many as you want. Unfortunately, the Buffalo coin had sold out. I only had about 100 of them to deal with, and those just went up like hotcakes. But I would suggest that you just switch your efforts over to the U.S. Eagle. They're trading right around that $1,390 level, and gold now shooting up to where it did. That's really a good buy. That's all. Alex, the United States dollar is falling. It just means the people that are sitting there in poverty looking for jobs are going to have to work that much harder to find food. You know, that's the sad part about it. We are sitting here on the edge of a crisis.
And global food prices are exploding as well. I've got that report actually here in my stack. I was going to get into it yesterday. I'll make sure and cover it today. But throw out some more of the coin offers you've got. That silver is just an absolutely smoking deal. Great deals on the gold. Fire out some of the coins. This is a radio special. The prices are higher. If you don't tell them, it's the Alex Jones radio special. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Ted, throw out some more of the coins briefly.
Yeah, sure. The $10 Liberties at $829. The $20 Liberties at $1,622. You can pick up the Pam Swiss bars that are very close to melt value. There's just a whole long variety. Junk silver, we carry bags of that. I mean, we really carry a wide array of what's available in the gold and silver marketplace. And the market has just shot up about $15 to $20 an ounce, depending upon where you're looking at it from. And you're going to be able to get some great buys right now.
And on these specials we're offering, I've seen the sheets, 2 to 5% markup when most gold companies are 25, 30%. It's a really great deal. 800-686-2237. If you're looking to get into precious metals, just stick your toe in the water or maybe jump all the way in. Midas Resources is the place to go. The trusted name in your precious metal needs. 800-686-2237. Thank you, Ted.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, there was a reported shooting at UT this morning, and I found it very suspicious that a supposed lone gunman came in to the library, the student library, fired his rifle, and what was reported is an automatic rifle, which they'll call a semi-auto or even bolt action in the news, and then killed himself and that he had someone with him. Now, I've seen so many cases where people are doing open carry in Vermont or Arizona or Wisconsin. We've got cases where the cops come over and arrest them and still charge them, even though there's no real law to charge them with. This is the type of garbage that is happening. And I had a feeling, because I know they've been having all these events all over the country, and there's a big student movement for open carry on college campuses so that you don't have mass shootings. Basically, gun-free zones are shooter zones. They're advertised as you want a place to kill yourself and kill a bunch of other people. It's like the new form of suicide. Don't jump out of a 50-story building. Don't slit your wrist. Don't shoot yourself in the head. Don't take sleeping pills. Take people with you. And the media hypes this. You had the gunman at the Discovery Channel a month ago or so. And so all these different permutations ran through my mind. And the way they locked it all down, pushed people back over a mile, claimed there might be another shooter with no evidence of it, it just had a lot of different red flags go up for me. It didn't pass the smell test. I'm basically calling shenanigans on this one. Very suspicious. And it could be a lone fruitcake, or it could have been somebody. I mean, how many times have you seen it come out in the news that the cops shoot an innocent person and then claim that they killed themselves or claim that they were a shooter? We've seen that a lot. It actually came out in the Rocky Mountain News and other newspapers that it came out in federal court that the SWAT team shot at least two of the people trying to get out of Columbine. But that's in a few newspapers and confirmed. I even had some of the families on years ago, going back a decade ago or more. It happened in 99. But whenever I mention that, people say, oh, you're making that up. They won't even go search the information. So this whole thing is suspicious, and then I get this piece of information. Student movement update, John Lott at UT Austin. This was from September 24, 2010, 4 days ago. On Tuesday, September 28th at 6 p.m., that's tonight, coming up in 5.5 hours, a coalition of student organizations of the University of Texas at Austin campus, including the Libertarian Longhorns and UT Students for Concealed Carry on Campus, and I want to get them on. So we're trying to contact him, but folks can email us here if you're listening and you're part of these groups. Showtips@Infowars.com. So again, on Tuesday, September 28th at 6 p.m., a coalition of student organizations at the University of Texas campus, including Libertarian Longhorns, the UT Students for Concealed Carry on Campus, the UT Objectivism Society and the UT Federalist Society will be hosting John Lott, famed defender of gun rights and author of the book, More Guns, Less Crime. Lott's work is More Guns, Less Crime is commonly cited as the main liberty-minded people when arguing against gun control laws, and Lott will be sharing some of his expertise in this field to the audience of students and members of the community of Austin. And now if they go ahead with the event, which I think they should, the media will be there to try to demonize it. It'll be a national story you watch, but this will be a way to counter them. Austin has been a hotbed of debate over the political and the potential of state laws being passed that would make it legal for a person to carry a concealed handgun on college campuses. If you were in the Austin area on the 28th, stop by the UT Law School and hear John Lott discuss the negatives of gun control and the positives of a free society. So you can talk about whatever you want. I got a bunch of other really important cybersecurity news. This is coming to a head coming up. And Democrats to stuff 20 bills into post-election lame duck session. That's coming up in this hour. I may just go back to 4 hours every day. There's no way to cover all this. Well, I did 4 hours yesterday. But how will I do a daily TV show, though, and then a weekly special broadcast show that's highly produced if I do that? It's just there's too much to cover. It's all happening right now. Something stinks. My gut is always right. And something is wrong here. And this comes out. And I'd said earlier, you know, is this a staged event to demonize the Second Amendment? But I was thinking to demonize the campus movement. What do you think about that? I know you'll be all over the map. It's wide open phones. That's fine. But let's go ahead and go to your calls. AJ in Texas, you're on the air, AJ.
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
Good. What do you think about this whole gun situation? Does that sound suspicious to you on the night that John Lott's set to call for the legislature, as some states are doing, to pass concealed or open carry on campuses? This happens?
Yeah, you know, that's par for the course for them. But what I'm calling about is I'm here in Austin, and I was listening to KLBJ AM, and you guys might want to try to get these tapes, but they had some pretty credible witnesses that were there on the scene at 21st Street, right by the six-pack. And what they were reporting was that there was a gunman there and that he opened fire there on 21st Street, not inside the building, not inside the library. And one of the callers said that he watched him and that he really didn't have control of his weapon. He never shouldered the weapon, but he was just holding it. And just, you know, just firing randomly. He never, you know, squared up on anybody, but shots were fired outside the building, which we haven't heard in the mainstream yet. And one of the other ladies said that she was dropped off by her husband, and she was about 30 feet away from the guy as he was firing on 21st Street.
Well, we're going to contact Thomas McDonald, who we work with, because I'm carried and previously even did my Sunday show out of News Radio 590 KLBJ. They're great folks. We chose to move to these studios for television purposes. But we'll contact Thomas McDonald right now. I'll guarantee you he's got those audio clips of the witnesses saying there was a shooter firing on the street. And perhaps what I should do is, after I finish with these calls, clear the phone lines only for Austin witnesses, because if credible witnesses saw another shooter firing from a street corner, this has black op written all over it. And notice how this happened in the morning. We were always talking about these false flags, 7/7 London bombings, 9/11. It just goes on and on. These false flags are done in the morning to dominate the news cycle. So this is getting worse and worse. But you're saying, because I'd heard this, I talked to my wife this morning, and I talked to one of the neighbors when she was outside this morning leaving. She said, I heard on local news radio, and that's probably 590, that there were shooters outside, and they sounded so these callers said they witnessed this, or they heard this was happening?
They said they were right there. Yep. They were all saying that they were right there. There was a cab driver for a yellow cab that said he was dropping off his fare. Right there by the six pack, and that he heard the shots ring out and saw the guy shooting and sped, you know, down 21st Street towards Speedway and towards the stadium, and were telling people not to go that way, you know, and you know, he made his 911 calls and stuff from there, and they were saying that they got that call at KLBJ AM at like 8:10 in the morning, so it was as it was happening. You know, and this guy's already on, you know, already on the radio.
Well, just like with the Oklahoma City bombing, the live tapes, they're removing the bombs. There that the governor comes on. We found three more bombs. And then not only did they not deny it, they just never talked about it again. They didn't go back and say we were wrong. They just said we don't want to discuss it. That's why those first tapes are so important. So you're saying these calls were made at about 8:10, 8:15 to 5:90 a.m.?
That's exactly right. And you know, the other thing is I heard a caller later on, you know, that was talking about the cameras inside the library. You know, we should just make the call right now that, you know, they should be showing us those tapes. We need to see this guy coming in the building with a gun, you know. And, you know, if there's all these other stories about shooters on the streets, you know, that you know, the camera inside the building.
There are business cameras, state cameras, UT cameras, private cameras, cell phone cameras. There are cameras by the thousands down there. And that's another good point. If we don't see tapes forthcoming within hours, notice the police will do that sometimes, but sometimes they suppress them. If they suppress them, this goes from code orange to being a staged event where it is now to code red. Great points from you, AJ. Anything else?
Hey, I just want to say, you know, that they got to keep doing this. We're getting close. We're kicking their butts. I think we're going to take them down, and I don't think it's going to be that much farther down the road.
Well, even if this was a real shooter, that's the reason to have concealed carry on campuses so people have a right to defend themselves.
That is exactly right. And in this state, you know, we should all be carrying anyway.
I appreciate your call. Let's go to Michael in Texas and see what he has to say. Michael, are you calling in about this?
Jones?
Go ahead, Michael.
Hello, Mr. Jones.
Hey.
I sent off 10 terabytes of information to your studio. I wonder if you got it.
Yeah, I don't know what the information is. You'll have to tell me. What is it?
It's new 9/11 evidence, the Rockefellers, Obama, Bush.
Oh, okay. When did you send it?
It was about a month ago. I sent off a couple copies.
Well, we try to wade through it all, so keep it coming, but I'm specifically not aware of what you're talking about.
I got a website up called The Investigations 2012, and it documents evidence into 9/11, George Bush, the Rockefellers, energy technology, and so on. I was wondering if you heard about that.
No, but I heard about some of it. I'll look into it, Michael. I appreciate your call. We're going to go to break here in a moment. We'll come back with Michael in Florida and Rena and Wilson. But I want to be specific. After that, I'm going to leave the phones open for eyewitnesses at UT. Why didn't I think of that? That's a good idea that AJ had from Texas. So we'll take those three calls quickly in the next segment. Then I'll open the phones up for eyewitnesses only. 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. I just went on 93.7 in the last 4 minutes and put out the news that this could be a cover-up of what's happening. Got that out on news radio right now here in Austin, Texas, and not just on 90.1 right now in 1330 that carries the show. Important info going on there. Let's finish up with three calls on a wide range of issues. And then when we come back from break, are you an eyewitness? Or is your husband or wife an eyewitness? Or did you hear these media reports? I know my neighbor heard them about a shooter on a street corner shooting. What is going on? 800-259-9231. And we're contacting 590 AM to try to get Thomas McDonald to give us the audio of that from 810 this morning. Right now, let's go to Michelle or Michael in Florida. You're on the air. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air. Okay, let's move forward. Let's talk to Wilson in Florida. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Good afternoon. It's always good to speak to you. And it's always also good to call in, and then I tell some of my friends and family to listen to the rebroadcasting. So I have three quick questions, because I have a lot of people throwing questions at me for you. First one is, my friend Chris, he really thinks that you take the things that are harmful to our health out of context. So I would just like for you to quickly just tell him, like, the things with the fluoride and the high fructose, could you speak directly to, like, people that think that you're just...
Well,
you're
I mean, your friend concerts the term high fructose conclusively linked to cancers, and you'll pull up AP, Reuters, all the medical reports. He can search fluoride cancer and get literally thousands of reports, literally thousands, all, you know, major universities, major scientific organizations. He can search vaccine brain damage and get all the reports. He can search GMO corn linked to organ failure. I mean, if he doesn't know corn syrup's bad for you, I don't know what planet he's living on. If he doesn't know about Tuskegee letting black men get syphilis and transfer it for 50 years, if he doesn't know about the atomic soldiers, if he doesn't know about DU being deadly and the troops dying from it, then I can't help your friend. I mean, you know, we're here telling him the facts. Like, hey, don't jump in front of an 18-wheeler. You know, don't play in traffic, and he's laughing at you.
Yes, well, the more information you dish out like that, the more people are starting to listen and like it. My second question is from my friend Anthony in New York. He says, you have so much influence on a lot of people, like, and people pay attention and do all the research and everything. Why don't you reach out to, like, people like NBA stars or NFL stars that do have
okay,
a lot of influence?
Listen, we get contacted every week by NFL football players, retired and current, by NBA stars, by movie stars, by supermodels, and 99% of the time, they don't want to come on air. And so I don't even have time to talk to them. And, you know, we have scientists on. And it's not that I don't want to hear what movie stars have to say. It's just that I'd rather hear what historians have to say. I'd rather, you know, hear from people that want to come on and talk and have information for us. But, you know, I mean, look, I'm a little organization. I've got to pay the bills every month. I spend half my time just trying to scare up the money to run my own operation. And I don't have time to sit there and talk to people all day and try to coax them on air. And, you know, and then every time they do want to come on, then their manager scares them and tells them don't go on. So, I mean, it's incredible. And then I talked to Jesse Ventura, all the movie stars he knows and media people that agree with him about the New World Order but are scared. And then I talked to other Hollywood people who talk to other Hollywood people, and they're all scared to come out. Well, okay, they're scared. Then I mean, that's their issue. You know, they're scared of their... I mean, you could say what you want about Charlie Sheen, but the guy's got courage. You can say what you want about Ventura. He's got courage. You can say what you want about Willie Nelson. They got courage. That's why I admire them. That's why I like Willie Nelson. I like being friends with Jesse Ventura. I savor going to dinner with Jesse Ventura. I savor being stuck in an airport for 3 hours with Jesse Ventura. Because he's real. He's real. I don't even agree with him on some issues, but he's real. He's real. I like real people with real courage. But listen, I got to jump here. And Watson called into the show. When Watson calls in, he's got something big and breaking dealing with this shooting. And we're going to come back to Paul Joseph Watson. And then Kyle in Texas saw the black helicopters down there. But we'll go to Kyle. But I want to hear... In fact, just clear off the other phones, Renee and others. I don't have time. I want to hear from him, but I got to get to eyewitnesses from Austin.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay. The toll-free number for anybody involved with the UT Law School, the UT Federalist Society, UT Concealed, Students for Concealed Carry. We're going to leave a few phone lines open for you at 1-800-259-9231. A, has the John Lott Concealed Carry on Campus event at 6 p.m. Been canceled? We know the main press release has been removed off of the website. Kurt, just a few minutes ago, saw it on the UT schedule, bring it into me, and got a printout of the screenshot. It's now been taken off the schedule. The University of Texas has put up a sardonic, catty comment about, oh, unfortunate coincidence that they were going to have this event tonight, and they don't know if it's been canceled, but Jaron found the link, and we'll give you document cam shots for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers right now. UT Law Calendar, this event no longer exists. University of Texas at Austin School of Law. Here is the printout from literally just 10 minutes ago or so when it was still up. So they removed the press release earlier this morning. We didn't know if it was canceled, but it looked like it was. Now it says 6 to 7 p.m., prominent Second Amendment scholar and author John Lott will discuss how more legal possession of guns leads to less crime in his controversial book, More Guns, Less Crime. Lott argues that crime rates drop when states allow citizens to conceal carry weapons. He doesn't argue. It's a fact. Over 20% on average, some even higher. Kennesaw, Georgia, 87%. You can pull up those numbers. So they have pulled this off the University of Texas. That is confirmed, Watson. We're going to get you screenshots of this that Nemo saved, sent over for your report you're doing right now. But I would say it's in the 90th percentile that this fits the mold or the signature of a stage black op to demonize and say, oh, look at the UT experience, you know, kill this nationwide movement of student activism for concealed carry so these aren't victim murder zones at these universities. Paul Joseph Watson, what's your gut tell you?
Well, firstly, Alex, I can confirm that it has been canceled. That's from the Austin American Statesman, which is reporting that the talk by John Lott has been canceled, and that comes directly from the president of UT students to concealed carry. And this Austin American Statesman blurb sardonically states that it was an unfortunate coincidence that the talk was scheduled to take place on the same day as this incident with the shooter. So it's confirmed to have it definitely been cancelled, basically.
Watson, what's your gut tell you? I mean, I instantly, when I heard this morning, said it's to stop concealed carry movements on campus, and then boom. And I'm telling you, Watson, my gut's never wrong. Just like the Joe Stack event, within an hour and 10 minutes of it happening, I was live on air. I said it's going to be blamed on the Liberty Movement. It's going to be blamed on Alex Jones, and the Statesman tried to blame me, tried to claim I was saluting the attack. The New York Daily News did the same thing. I mean, we see this over and over again, and people are like, look at Alex claiming they'll blame it on him, and when an hour later they were. I mean, I just instantly, and then it came out, all the suspicious stuff with the eyewitnesses, nobody in the plane, the first ever Homeland Security drill with the entire fire department. I've now talked to high-ranking fire department people and talked to other witnesses who said the feds told them to stay in the emergency center, not to go down there, to just let their lower-level police and fire be under federal control. FBI was out there seconds after the plane flew in, grabbing people's cell phone cameras, taking them away. It turned out that thing stinks to high heaven. This looks really bad, Watson. I mean, you know, what did Roosevelt say? When something happens in Washington, you can bet it was planned that way. I mean, this is looking bad.
Well, isn't it amazing that every time there's a mass shooting, it's followed by the passage of gun control legislation? What's interesting is that there was a debate about the right to carry guns on campus immediately before the Virginia Tech shooting in 2007. And of course, the students and workers at Virginia Tech had been allowed to carry guns on campus, then, you know, they wouldn't have been killed.
See, I forgot that. There's so many pieces of evidence. And normally how this works is they'll have a few shooters that look similar to their patsy. They'll call the patsy to meet them. They'll get the patsy, you know, behind a bookcase or whatever, shoot him in the head, shoot a gun in the air, then they disappear, witnesses see him, they fire a few shots on the street to create that element of confusion. This looks really bad, Watson, just like the firebombing of the governor's mansion. This looks like black op.
Well, even the UT student head for the concealed carry on campus groups that makes reference to, quote, the political aspects of this. So the statesman's already framing it in a political context, which already takes it beyond the, you know, lone nut with a gun story, which is what we thought it was when we first heard it today. But now that it's confirmed that this talk by the Second Amendment expert John Watt has been cancelled as a direct result of this incident, it's very, very suspicious indeed. So we'll continue to look into it.
All right, I'm going to let you go, but the fact that they did have concealed carry right before the shooting, the fact that all of this happened, the fact that they were having this event and a move at the state legislature to legalize concealed carry on campuses so citizens aren't victims. You can also search the term campus robberies and attacks up. You'll get Texas, Washington State, Maryland, Florida. Now the criminals don't like robbing houses in high gun ownership area. They don't like mugging people on the street because of concealed carry. On average, it's down over 20% in every state that's done this. And so they're now going on to the campuses that are giant, in many cases, as large as, you know, small cities, to rob and rape and kill. And so there's a big political fight over this, and that's instantly what hit my mind this morning, and it just is confirmed. If they don't, this is another point for your article you're doing, Watson, if they don't release the surveillance cameras very, very quickly, we know this goes from 90% to 99% that it's staged. And remember, even if they release video, the CIA admits they released fake video of Bin Laden to manipulate us. So there's another headline, ODU, increasing security followed campus robberies. Yeah, there's a headline dealing with that. Old Dominion University is working with the Norfolk Sheriff's Department to bring in extra deputies to patrol campus following four recent robberies on campus. Watson, good job. Anything else?
Yeah, the Associated Press is reporting that there are two different shooting scenes that are being investigated. So that tallies with your eyewitness reports of somebody out in the street shooting as well.
So now it's an organized conspiracy, more and more evidence shows. Well, that brings it from 90 to 95%. But luckily, the Lee Harvey McVeigh patsy is dead. Isn't that just special, Watson?
Oh, yeah, it's just a coincidence, though, as the Austin American Statesman said, with some relish.
Tie it into the Bees Lawn situation in Russia as well. That came out even in mainstream news to be a staged op.
Okay, will do.
All right, good job, Watson. Okay. Oh, boy. All right, look, we're not getting really any calls with eyewitnesses. But during the break, I'll get word on 590 if they're going to be able to give us any of those clips of eyewitness callers, see what they're saying on that front. But let's go to Kyle in Texas. Says he saw the black helicopters. We've got Jason Douglas and Matt Reiner back. I'm going to get them to grab just the black helicopter / military footage to try to play that coming up in the next hour for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. We'll also get it up on the YouTube channel ASAP. In fact, to integrate that into the YouTube channel, when we play the clips live, we'll excise the clip where I talk about it and then put that directly to YouTube to get it out to people next hour. Let's go to Kyle in Texas. Saw the black helicopters that we videotaped, and our guys just returned a few minutes ago. Kyle, what did you witness?
I was at my office, and I'd heard that those helicopters going over the top of UT campus, and I looked out my office window, and I told my boss, I said, hey, there's a couple of helicopters out there. They kind of look like they're military. And my boss was in the military for 10 years. And he said, well, what kind are they? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in it. And he went out there and looked. He said, well, those are definitely military helicopters. And they were a black or they were a dark olive green. And then there was one that was a black and white. There was two blacks and then two, or there was one that was black and white.
Yeah, that's the Austin chopper, the black and white
one. The black and white one, yeah. But the other two definitely look like military helicopters.
What do you think about this whole situation, Kyle?
I think it's just kind of sketchy that there was the gun meeting was scheduled for today, and all of a sudden this happens this morning. And I think it's kind of weird that there's eyewitnesses saying that the shooter was out in the street, but then they claim that he's dead on the sixth floor. I think that's kind of sketchy and a little off, but who am I to say that, you know?
Well, again, it's the past activity. This fits exactly the past signatures on events we know were staged. And we know that the Operation Northwoods calls for shootings in Miami, in D.C., and other cities to be blamed on foreign enemies. And it even talks about how to frame patsies afterwards. So this is what the Pentagon does. And so if you have a Pentagon report where they wanted to do this and even attack U.S. military bases and blame it on foreign enemies and frame patsies, then you've got to look at it. In fact, I know Watson's listening. Watson, add the Operation Northwoods tie-in. Kyle, I appreciate your call. Again, wide open phones for any eyewitnesses in Austin, any eyewitnesses to what you witnessed down there at UT, the military personnel, the black helicopters, the other shooter firing from a street corner on campus, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air. I wanted to shift gears, and if you guys go over to InfoWarsShop.com, we can put this up on screen for everybody. I've been making a chemtrail documentary. Well, part of it is about chemtrails and the whole eugenics angle and all the government declassified documents where they admit they're doing it as weather modification, you name it. But I got contacted about a month and a half ago by G. Edward Griffin, who were big supporters of and who I've put in some of my films, to say that he's producing What in the World Are They Spraying? And I've had a chance to see the film. It's done. They're making a few added things right now, but it's done in the next two or three days completely. But I've had a chance to see the film, and it really covers a lot of the documented information. It covers the different government hearings where they admit they're chemtrailing, and it gives you the scientific terms. It shows the aluminum in the soil all over the world, and Monsanto and others coming out with patented seeds that can grow in the aluminum when nothing else can. It's What in the World Are They Spraying? It's going to be shipping out October 22nd on DVD. If you want to get this full-length documentary film that is just amazingly well done and well documented, they shot in Europe, Hawaii, all over the U.S. It's powerful. And again, we're making our own film that I'd say is 30, 40% chemtrails. It'll be over 2 hours long. And I was going to release it this year, but I take my time. It'll be out next year. And right now I've shifted gears to make a co-opting of the Tea Party film to really warn people of what's happening on that front. So I'm glad this is out. From the producer, G. Edward Griffin, What in the World Are They Spraying? The Chemtrail Geoengineering Cover-Up Revealed. Available now first at InfoWars.com. And you know how fast we've gotten really good at this in the last few years. Years ago, it took us a week or two to ship stuff right. But we've hired the people, got it streamlined. We ship a lot of times the day the order comes in, usually within a day or two, though. You want to get it fast. We've gotten a bunch of these, and we're going to be shipping them out October 22nd. What in the World Are They Spraying? DVD. Available at InfoWars.com right now or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also write to us at InfoWars, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. And if anybody questions whether the government would do this or not, I like this film because it shows where all the admissions and the patents. It doesn't get as much into eugenics like we do in other areas, but it's important, and it's done in a very nice cinema verite style, and uses a lot of local news clips to show how this is actually starting to come out. Also, you can get four copies. This ends next week of Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. For any of you that question, would the system do something like this with all the admissions of chemical, biological, radiological, secret testing, and even murder of U.S. citizens and British citizens and others, U.K. citizens, the Bilderberg Group, their master plan, all revealed, four copies, $19.95. You can do your Christmas shopping early, but don't wait. Give people the film now, and they're more apt to watch it because it's in the nice shrink wrap color cover. And, you know, has the back write-up on it about they want you dead. So you want to know what's really going on? And people are now ready to hear about this. All this week, Glenn Beck's covering population reduction, world government. But it's, you know, kind of watered down baby food. But that's okay if it's for babies. Just a year or two ago, Fox said none of this existed. So you want steak and potatoes, big boy food. This is what big grown men
This is like T-bone steak and big baked potato dripping with butter and chives and cheese and a half gallon of Jack Daniels compared to baby food. I'm just joking. And you just don't have babies drinking Jack Daniels is my point. This is the film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. While you're getting What in the World Are They Spraying, get four copies of Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement for $4.90 a piece. Infowars.com or 888-253-3139 or P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. And your purchase of the books and the videos is what funds this operation. And my endless quest to fund our operation, believe me, I would not like to spend my time funding the operation, but it's a win-win because the films wake people up. You may know all about chemtrails. Here's a film to wake people up. You can try to tell them on the golf course or at work, hey, look at that. Look, it's a persistent jet trail. Doesn't go away for an hour. Hey, here's some government documents. They're not going to read them. Give them a film like this. They're a lot more apt to watch it. And knowing the enemy, as G.I. Joe would say, is half the battle. We do have this student movement update. John Lott at UT Austin posted at Infowars.com. They've pulled it all down. The statesmen, the local papers writing giggling jokes about it, basically. They got their thing canceled. I mean, isn't that disgusting that UT law school would cancel this? You know, the idea is guns are bad. Oh, we shouldn't have even allowed this pro-gun event at the university. And then I have the article right here out of the papers in Wisconsin. And the headline is, cops charge open carry activists in Wisconsin, Buckeye Firearms Association. And they are charging him with something that isn't really applicable for openly carrying a firearm, having demonstrations where they openly carry firearms. And, of course, then we've got the report here where they're having to back off now all over the country, arresting people for videotaping police and charging them with wiretapping. Look, it's not illegal to have open carry in most states. You can't arrest them.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying. The way they've always done before.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you for joining us. It is the 28th day of September 2010, and we've got breaking news and information for you right now. Recapping first, at around 8 a.m. this morning at the University of Texas at Austin, there are reports from eyewitnesses of a shooter in the library firing a rifle and then reportedly killing himself. The police are saying that. Eyewitnesses are saying someone else was shooting on the street right around the same time. The police have gone in, locked it down. Army helicopters were above. We've got the video that my guy shot. Clearly they're Army or / Homeland Security. Dark green, almost black helicopters. Definitely Army, the type they use via Homeland Security. The Army with Brigade Homeland and NORTHCOM is now a subset of Homeland Security, in violation of posse comitatus. We've also confirmed that UT is canceling John Lott's speech. The prominent lawyer who wrote More Guns, Less Crime, documenting that when concealed carry is passed at a state level, crime drops by average over 20%, some cases even higher. And he was going to speak tonight at 6 p.m. at the UT Law School. They've removed it off their website. The Statesman says it's canceled. Imagine the chances of this. Reported multiple shooters running around, but nobody gets killed. Guns are being fired in the air. They had some other illegal immigrant fire a gun last year at the state capitol in the air. They used that to try to move against state legislators and others having concealed carry. They put metal detectors in. And turn the Capitol into a police state. And even the local newspapers admit right at the time that legislatures are moving and passing in some states laws for concealed carry on campuses, so these aren't shooting zones where it's open season on everyone, right at that time, right when the most prominent activist for this comes to speak, this happens. And the same thing happened with the Blacksburg shooting. Remember that. Paul Joseph Watson's got a detailed report that he's putting together right now on this. But campuses say, okay, you can have concealed carry. A shooting happens. Thank God no one was killed at this event. Now, our guys saw SWAT teams, what looked like regular Army, Black Beret, and they saw these clear Army helicopters. We'll put a still shot up from Matt Ryan, and, of course, we have similar footage from Jason Douglas's cameras. We'll put that on screen right now. There it is, the dark olive drab, almost black helicopter with what looks like classic Army helicopter crew chief type uniform hanging out the side. It looks also similar to what the Special Forces gear looks like when they're out there flying around in these helicopters, similar to what you saw in Black Hawk Down. For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, radio listeners, this will be up on InfoWars very soon. We're going to upload it to our Alex Jones YouTube channel. But for PrisonPlanet.tv live viewers, you can tune in and see this footage. Go ahead and roll the shot now. We've seen the screenshot. Roll the video of the black helicopter. Here is what is supposedly non-existent, even though the Delta Forces crashed in Houston and had drills all over the country. This supposedly does not exist, what you're now seeing on your television screen. We'll go out to break showing that video yet again. Great job to the crew getting down there quickly in what could have been a still active shooter situation. They still claim it is. And getting all of that footage, more boil downs coming up, and they will be posted at the websites throughout the day. We have a guest scheduled. We're still going to have him on, but I'll continue to take your calls and cover this news and a lot more as it develops. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we are back live. We did confirm that military was down there, black berets, the whole nine yards, a clear Homeland Security helicopter slash Army, dark green, almost black, flying around. We'll roll some more of that. It's Army, unless the APD is now getting military helicopters, which we have seen some of those programs. But you guys did repeatedly see Army driving around in cars when the rest of campus was shut down and leaving. You got some footage of this and actually followed them, Matt Ryan. We're going to get that video and tag it on to this report. But you guys just got back, so you're getting that footage right now. Tell us what you saw.
Right. As we showed up, Jason spotted a military in beret, full fatigues, in a car driving right by our staging area. We thought, okay, well, nothing of it. It's a military guy just happened to be driving by. But as we were leaving, going from the staging area, the secured staging area they only let press into, was a full fatigue, boots, everything, camouflage hat, soldier, I guess the best description, leaving the staging area, going to a nearby gas station, getting a whole bunch of water, I guess, for whoever he's working with.
So he was definitely part of it because he's bringing them water. What is the Army doing at the University of Texas? Well, they're part of infrastructure protection. This has all been a secret covert program now out in the open.
Right. And one thing that was a little bit strange, we got our cameras out immediately. We wanted to get some footage of this so that, you know, we could definitely report it to our readers at InfoWars. And as soon as we started getting footage of him, he went into a car that was parked around the corner into the staging area, peeled out, went through the middle of a gas station nearby and sped away as quickly as he could. Probably because he noticed that we were following him with cameras.
Well, I'll tell you what else is going on. Guys, search for listeners right now. Marines at Alabama shooting. And then later there was an investigation and then search the term Marines at checkpoints in California, DUI checkpoints. This is totally illegal. Army, Marines, all of it. But it's going on behind the scenes. But then the Army Times comes out a year ago or 2 years ago now and admits they want 387,000 troops on the streets of the United States. So just every major event now, they're there. They're at the Super Bowl. They're at the Kentucky Derby, conditioning us to accept it. And I go back 12 years ago catching Army checkpoints on I-35 searching cars, and they would cover their faces up there because they know what they're doing is illegal, but they're just setting the precedent to do it.
Right, and we had to show press credentials to get back into that area. We had to go through a checkpoint. We got checked out by not one but two different officers, state troopers, on the scene before we could get into the area that soldier was coming from. So one way or another, there was a guy full green camouflage fatigues at the scene in an area that was secured for press only.
All right, we're going to get this video from the live show, last segment, and this put together and up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com as soon as possible. But this whole thing looks like some type of government homeland security drill gone wrong or something. I mean, it's the date that they're going to have John Lott there openly calling for concealed carry on campuses. It's a national movement gaining steam, and this happens, and now their event is canceled. We got a call from Brave New Books. They're not sure yet, but they're down on the edge of campus. I know they're friends with a lot of the campus groups, saying John Lott may be there tonight instead. And you know that's going to be a circus with media. So definitely get down there early if that is the case tonight, or whoever can do it from our crew. But thank you, Matt Ryan, for going down there and the excellent reporting.
Thank you.
All right, good job to Matt Ryan and Jason Douglas on that front. We've got a guest dealing with the RAND Corporation and shadow government, who's one of the only people to ever be allowed full access to their archives. We'll understand who's behind the scenes setting up the world we live in, setting the standards, setting the agenda, charting the course, the map makers of our society. That is coming up. We'll continue to report on this as it develops and unfolds. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to keep the lines open for whistleblowers who did see the second gunman shooting, as reported by News Radio 590 KLBJ. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I guess the city of Austin now has been getting Army surplus helicopters. I guess they've got black helicopters now because we ran the tail number. Normally a black op helicopter will not have numbers, and it is an Austin Police Department helicopter. But we have confirmed that the Army, U.S. Army, was down there working the scene. We have that footage. We're going to put a report together and take this addendum and add it to the earlier information that we covered. We'll post it up at YouTube in the next few hours and post it at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But what is the Army doing and the Marines at other shootings? What are they doing at these events in violation of the 1878 law, Posse Comitatus? The Pentagon now admits they want over 300,000 troops permanently deployed for, quote, homeland defense to respond to all crimes, you name it. We literally are turning in to something like Russia or East Germany or Nazi Germany before it. Now, for the rest of the hour, we are honored to have Alex Abeya on the radio broadcast with us. He's a New York Times notable book author, Emmy-nominated TV reporter, and screenwriter. Alex Abeya is the author of Soldiers of Reason, The RAND Corporation, The American Empire, a study of the world's most influential think tank, published by Harcourt. Alex was the first journalist to have full access to RAND's files in Santa Monica, California, and they did not like the response that they got when the book came out. They did not like the results. Abeya's nonfiction work includes Shadow Enemies, a nonfiction account of a plot by Adolf Hitler. I've read about this, to start a wave of terror and destruction in the United States. Born in Cuba, Alex migrated with his family to the United States when he was age 10. And we really appreciate this accomplished researcher and writer and news reporter for joining us. AlexAbeya.com is his website. Alex, good to have you here with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure. I was listening to your reports before. It's really scary what's going on.
Very suspicious, these shootings happening every time universities try to say that students can have concealed carry, and when they were having a prominent concealed carry person speaking at the law school tonight.
Amazing, amazing. You know, it's just like another step into, you know, the consolidation of the military-industrial complex, which is, you know, what came out of RAND. I mean, this is like my book. It deals with the birthplace of the military-industrial complex. And it's funny, too, that in a way it took a former general, Eisenhower, to warn us against this. And, you know, and yet, you know, here we are all these years later.
Well, for those that don't know, when you watch a movie like Dr. Strangelove made by Stanley Kubrick, they call it the Bland Corporation,
right.
Has a report where they talk about we can nuke Russia and only lose 10 to 20 million Americans. That's really based from my research, but I want you, who knows far more than I, on real reports put out by RAND and some of these shadowy figures that started it. You've got the floor. Break down the history of RAND and why it's so important.
Well, I think, you know, RAND is important for a number of reasons. I mean, dating back, it's the most influential think tank in America, if not in the world. It shaped our policy of nuclear deterrence. It came up with the concept of counterinsurgency, laid the foundation for the Internet, was Harvard game theory, came up with something called systems analysis, which revolutionized the U.S. government. But above all, the main thing that it's really, really, really important, which is something that perhaps I should have emphasized even more in the book, but it's very clear there. They came up with a foundation for the wave of financial disasters that we find ourselves in. Something called rational choice theory, which was developed by a Nobel Prize winner named Kenneth Arrow, who came up with something called Arrow's stratagem, which in a way went against the precepts of Marxism and yet turned loose this whole wave of deregulation, of people just thinking that, you know, they're only in it for themselves, and like overturned all the concepts on which this country had been based on. That, I think, is their major contribution to, unfortunately, to our national fabric.
When you say it's the most influential think tank in the United States and probably the world, that is not an exaggeration. In fact, it may even be an understatement. From my research, Stanley Kubrick was obsessed with the RAND Corporation, got a lot of the material for several of his films from it, because he realized that they were charting so much of our technological development and sat at the top of the capstone for the scientific and technological elite that Eisenhower talked about in his speech that were controlling the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower quotes about military-industrial complex being dangerous. You know, those are well known, but the rest of his farewell address gets into the scientific technological elite that was taking over the system, because he was reading their reports, he was seeing what they had to say. Let's start at the beginning. Why did you want to look at RAND Corporation? How were you able to get in to see their internal annals when no one else had been able to do it? And let's walk through all the different things that they developed, including, didn't they develop the idea for mid-air refueling?
Yes, absolutely. And also the idea of second nuclear strike deterrence. That came out of something called a basing study, which highlighted the weaknesses in our national defense system against a surprise strike by the Russians. Of course, never mind that the Russians, you know, didn't have enough weapons to really do all this, but in any case, had they been able to, they would have been able to.
And not to mention, of course, they helped develop the current COG plan that NORTHCOM uses to militarize and take over our entire society by building a second secret of government.
Well, you know, I think you got a point right there. From the very beginning, you know, RAND has been involved with people who have wanted to create an alternative, a secret government. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, it's like one of the major givers of funds, the people who funded the organization, was the Ford Foundation. And it's first President Geiser who really believed, you know, in a one-world government controlled by technocrats. I mean, it's really chilling when you go back and you realize, my God, this is the way that it's been going on since the late 1940s. It's amazing. And RAND was developed 1946 as an adjunct of the United States Air Force because there was a general named Hap Arnold who wanted to create the equivalent of the Manhattan Project. As you know, Manhattan Project were the, you know, was the one that came up with the atomic bomb. And what he wanted is that he wanted a combination of military and civilian scientists who would be able to come up with new weapons of destruction. Specifically, they were interested in intercontinental missiles. So they came up with the idea of having this outfit then that would receive money from the military, but actually would be a civilian thing, because he realized that most civilian scientists would not want to work under the strictures of the U.S. Armed Forces. So they set up RAND, which, by the way, the acronym it means Research and Development. Of course, you know, there's no development. It's always been research. In 1946, and it was housed at Douglas Aircraft here in Santa Monica, because the guy who, Mr. Douglas, happened to be married to Arnold's daughter. So, you know, they were relations. In any case, they set it up here at Douglas Aircraft. And within a couple of years, RAND was doing so much work for the military that Douglas Aircraft, the company, felt that, you know, its own livelihood was being endangered. So they had to spin it off. And then to spin it off, they went then to the Ford Foundation and to Wells Fargo Bank and got loans and got just outright gifts also from Henry Ford himself. And with that money, then they were able to set up and become independent as a place where they would develop, you know, like new weapons of destruction. And it's been going on ever since. I mean, Bernard Brody, who was the main, who's been called the father of nuclear deterrence, worked there for a while. And as I said, they developed systems analysis, which is a way of, you know, of viewing problems in their context instead of just individually, and in, you know, and seeing which is the best way to arrive at a result, but all numerically based.
Well, Mr. Abeya, I want to go over the fact that they have, you know, literally charted the militarization of police. I mean, almost every policy we see, they charted the course for that. But let's go back, because we're about to go to break. Let's go back to what you talked about, the Ford Foundation and its founder. Tell us about him. And they've had congressional hearings on this where they openly want global government. I mean, when you actually go to the documents, that's what it says.
That's right.
And so let's talk about their master plan for the planet and what type of documents you saw when you were researching.
Well, the documents are all there. I mean, these things are not hidden. And these are public documents that you can see on which, you know, Geither, there's been a lot of research on this, in which Geither, who was the first president of the Ford Foundation and who was one of the founders of the RAND Corporation, also, you know, was an advocate of a one-world government. And so was John Williams, who was the intellectual powerhouse behind the RAND Corporation. And John Williams, who was a mathematician, he advocated nuking the Soviet Union, and then again, forming, you know, a one-world government that would be, again, ruled by technocrats. So it's been there right from the beginning, and there's no avoiding it. And it's the militarization of the country, and it's just appalling. That's one of the things that I point out in the book.
Well, you've just hit the key here. And again, you were allowed into their very annals, the nexus from RAND to Ford. The Ford documents came out in the 77 hearings in Congress, and the right-wing media, Rush Limbaugh, all of them for decades, said no global government exists. Now they're forced to admit it because the world government's in the open, but they claim it's low-level communist professors.
Oh, please.
When the Pentagon created at Presidio the UN, the Pentagon created the plan for world government. Meanwhile, they've got all these right-wingers saying the Pentagon's fighting world government. They gave birth to this corporate world government. And you've got Tiny Tim Geithner, whose family was involved at the Ford Foundation, who is now the head of the Treasury.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. I mean, it's an old relationship. Not only that, and this is why I want to go back to what I mentioned before. I mean, they laid the theoretical foundation for this so that people would eventually accept it as being the right way to be.
Well, Alex, this is bombshell. I want to tell folks how to get your book. And I really want to thank Tommy Pallotta, who's met you and talked to you, for recommending you for the show, because just amazing on-spot, on-target research. We're going to come right back to you after the break so you can continue to discuss this. But I mean, they're the people charting and designing our world.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing left to lose.
We just got off the phone with Professor John Lott. I may go into fourth hour overdrive. He was in the middle of a major press conference of some type, being harried by reporters. He was going to speak tonight until the shooting happened. I have the Army, it was leaked by WikiLeaks manual where they teach Army captains how to stage shootings. Operation Northwoods, how to shoot U.S. citizens and blame it on Cuban nationals to go to war with Cuba. I'm telling you, this thing stinks to high heaven, but I'm not getting off into that. And I'm just amazed by our guests. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. Alex Abella, he has written the bombshell book. I've read several chapters online, but I haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to read it. But just everything he's talking about jives with my research. But he was the only Alex, before we get into systems analysis and all of this and the world government, how did you get in? Tommy Pallotta told me some of the story.
Well, the story was that, I mean, I just finished doing my previous book. This book is called Soldiers of Reason. The previous one was called Shadow Enemies, which was, you know, the one about the terrorists that were sent here by Hitler, a personal mission from Hitler right after Pearl Harbor to start a wave of terror in the United States with, you know, they landed on two U-boats, one in Long Island and one down in Florida. And, you know, there was, but the guy who was heading the whole thing flipped. He went over to the FBI, but the FBI wouldn't listen to him. So he had to personally go down to Washington. And then, so it was like a ticking time bomb after that.
And the Germans wanted to blow up ammunition dumps.
Yes. Oh, not only that, they also wanted to blow up the aqueduct, you know, the waterworks in New York City. They wanted to put bombs in train stations, in major Jewish-owned department stores, which back then in New York meant probably most of them. It's amazing what they wanted to do. So it was like this whole FBI race trying to, first of all, they didn't believe the guy. Then when they did believe him, then they had to find all the other people that scattered all over the country. So it was a fascinating story. In any case.
Well, that's how research works. You're doing something on one thing, and then it leads you to something entirely different.
Absolutely. So I was writing books for that book when I saw that, because I co-wrote that, and a friend of my co-author was there, and this person happened to be fairly highly placed within the RAND organization. And I realized, oh my God, the last time I heard about RAND, I was back at Columbia. I was in college. And, you know, they were like masters of deception and this and that. I was thinking, I wonder if anybody's done anything about that. And so I started looking up, you know, the research, doing some research whether anybody had written about it. And apparently nobody had for a long, long time. And I approached them, and much to my surprise, they said, yes, we'll do it. And at the time, they told me this was either the smartest or the dumbest move we have ever made. You know, I don't know. That's for others to decide. In any case, they opened up their files, and they were totally cooperative. I have nothing bad to say about that. However, I do think that they expected a different perspective. I mean, I laid down the facts just as they are, but I think that they expected me to come to different conclusions.
So you literally got a first-class ticket on that express elevator down the rabbit hole.
That's right. Very good. Very well put. That's exactly how I felt, because the times you read these things and you go, how could this be true? How could they be? You know, it's like some of the plans that were gestated over there at RAND are just, even like 50 years later, you read them and you say, how could anybody ever think of anything like this? Not only, you know, obviously, you know, the control of the population, but when you talk about nuclear destruction, about nuclear holocaust, how we can survive even if 50 million people die, because all of them will be dead, but yet we'll be surviving. And I'm thinking, this is like insane. And of course, that's one of the things that Eisenhower was against, because Eisenhower, having been a general, he knew what death was all about.
Oh, yeah, Curtis LeMay, for those that don't know, he wanted to have nuclear war, and a lot of them did, and the RAND Corporation was there going, literally the scene from Dr. Strangelove, where the general's saying, look, let's have the nuclear war. It's going to be great. We've got lots of mineshaft underground bases. There'll be 10 women for every man.
Absolutely. Not only that, they went well far beyond that. I mean, the main guy who did that, was a popularizer of that particular approach, was a guy named Herman Kahn, who was like this big, fat guy who worked, later became a futurologist, you know, thinking about what the future is going to be like. But at the time, he was a physicist who had been hanging out with all these different people at RAND, who had developed all these different concepts, and he just decided to give lectures on this. I mean, and when people first heard this, like in the 1950s, early 60s, and I was a kid at the time, I vaguely remember all this, I mean, people were throwing up when they heard these things. And, you know, it was mass murder, basically, is what we're talking about. But yet, they said, no, this is the rational way to do things. This is what we have to do if we want to win. And Eisenhower, when he heard all these things, he said, you guys have nuts. There's no way we're going to do this. And that's why he cut down the Pentagon budget.
And at that same time, Limnan, sir, the head of the Joint Chiefs, came to him with Operation Northwoods that my intel shows was Rand-influenced and said, let's stage terror attacks, sir. Let's remote control airplanes and crash them. Let's bomb D.C. Stay there. We're going to come back with stage terror, global government, control of the U.S. population, water fluoridation. The loving helpers at the RAND Corporation. They gave you the internet, in-flight refueling, systems analysis, everything. You like living in the New World Order? You can thank the RAND Corporation. We'll be right back with our amazing guest and tell you how to get his book.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Alex Abeya, New York Times, notable book author, Emmy-nominated TV reporter, screenwriter. Soldiers of Reason, the RAND Corporation and the American Empire. Available where all good books are sold. His website's alexabeya.com. Abeya spelled A-B-E-L-L-A, alexabeya.com. And if you just read publicly available Ford and Carnegie Foundation, they said, we're going to start wars so we can take over the planet to then end war. We're going to set up the UN as a fake socialist front to basically take over the planet. That's what we've gotten on that end. But he got it from one of their main think tanks where they were developing the specifics of their prime directive. And he's the only guy to ever get in and get these. And I guess because he wrote a book about the Nazis and a secret plan, they thought it would be something like that. But it certainly wasn't. Soldiers of Reason, please continue. I mean, go back into the nasty, horrible things they were planning, the ideas. You were talking about Eisenhower being shaken by them. That's even in Frontline specials about Northwoods.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Eisenhower, basically, he realized after a while that, you know, that nobody won in a nuclear war. But yet these people, led by scientists in RAND and their advisors, and also, leaders of the military-industrial complex, you know, people whose industries, you know, depended on Pentagon largesse, on Pentagon spending a lot of money. They kept pressing him, like, you have to increase the Pentagon budget. The Russians are coming after us. We have a missile gap. We have all these things. And Eisenhower was not buying any of that. In fact, he was the one who started then trying to coexist with the Soviet Union, trying to come to some kind of understanding, obviously without letting our guard down. I mean, he did authorize the U-2.
But if there was a nuclear war, the military-industrial complex wouldn't just get more funds. They would reorganize the entire country.
Absolutely, absolutely. That would have been their golden ticket, you know, to get in and just reshape everything without having to give anybody any excuses. Because, you know, it's a war, martial law, and it's over. It's over. It's not just the United States. It would have been the entire world.
Now what about Northwoods? Are you familiar with that? Did you see anything dealing with government-sponsored terror, false flag events in your RAND research?
Well, I know that was some of the things that were considered by a lot of the people at the time. I know that you mentioned the whole Northwood incident, that's after, you know, Castro had taken over in Cuba. I myself, obviously, you know, haven't been born there. I mean, I'm familiar with that. And it happened all the time. How do you think we got into Vietnam? I mean, remember, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution. That was totally fake. Everybody knew it at the time, especially in the government. And yet, you know, we got into it and we got into Vietnam. And, of course, RAND was there from the beginning, first advising them, yes, get in, and then advising them, no, get out. And it's the same thing that happened in Iraq. At first saying, oh, we should go in. And then once we were in, they say, well, but on the other hand, you're not putting in enough boots on the ground here in order to be able to carry out.
And we see the Pentagon Papers, our intel is leaked on purpose to end it. That's RAND Corporation, Daniel Ellsberg. We see the architect of the Vietnam War being former RAND, Robert McNamara.
That's right. He was never formally affiliated with RAND, but he definitely hired, he picked the brains of the RAND Corporation to run the Pentagon, because both those guys at RAND and McNamara were numbers people. Remember, and by the way, Ford, I mean, he had been in charge, you know, the Ford Corporation, right? He had run the Ford Corporation. He was the youngest CEO at the time. He was only 40 when he ran Ford, at the time when Ford was really a major powerhouse in American industry. And he went from the Ford Corporation to the Pentagon, and he was chosen at the behest of people who were affiliated with RAND and RAND people themselves. And then he started picking people like Hitch, who was his controller, and Alan Edhoven, who went over there and instituted systems analysis within the Pentagon. And from there, that systems analysis approach was adopted by the entire U.S. government. So the relationship between the two it's been there from the beginning, and it continues to this day.
And we see the model of the Pentagon using contractors to not just carry out illegal spying and their dirty work, but to really be in the command seat of the Pentagon and government agencies itself. That RAND model is now being duplicated like cancer metastasizing.
That's right, because you know why? Again, let's see if we can follow this and if you grant me a couple of seconds here, which is RAND was advocating a volunteer army. It was one of the first major institutions to come out in favor of a volunteer army. Why? Because it would favor a lot of people and a lot of industries that they're in bed with, but also because it really ties in so neatly with the concept that they developed, that of rational choice, which I was mentioning before, which is the concept that there is really no such thing as patriotism or religion, because people are all selfish creatures, and therefore the only thing that counts is what I can get for myself. Matter of fact, that if you get more than four people in the room, there really isn't any way that you can have a democratic solution to anything, because one's will has to be imposed over the others. And this is demonstrated by a mathematical sleight of hand. In other words, they lay a rational foundation, a foundation for the changes in the approach to our government that would definitely change the physiognomy of the country and the way that we live today. I mean, that's how they were able to come up with the foundation for deregulating industries, for charging, in some places, charging you for getting going into certain areas and charging you more for a license in different places, for the deductible. I mean, the deductible on your health insurance, that came out of an experiment that was carried out by RAND. If you look at all their work, it's all off a piece, because they're rational people. They believe in numbers. They believe we're all selfish, and therefore everything has to be done according to which is the way in which we can get the most profit and that people can be the most selfish about, which I think is a total denial of what this country is about. I mean, in this country, we've become consumers. But remember, we were supposed to be patriots. We were supposed to be people who were citizens, who had duties and responsibilities, as well as privileges. And now we've just become consumers. You know, we can get a good deal or a bad deal. And I'm sorry, but that's not the country that I grew up in. But this is the result of this perfidious doctrine called rational choice, which came out directly of the RAND Corporation.
So this is how they break it down to primitive mass movements of psychology. And Google and the Pentagon now admit they, quote, have software that can predict mass movements and even individual movements. And so they're always 100 steps ahead of us, knowing what our deepest desires are, literally like the devil. They know what we will sell out for when they take us up on the mountain and we end up doing it for chicken feed, and they figured out all the different actuaries to do that. And I want you to expand on this, but I wanted to go over just some mainstream news headlines from today. Obama's internet wiretap move, just one small facet of total domination project. Here's Wired Magazine. Exclusive Google CIA invest in future of web monitoring. The investment arm of the CIA and Google are both backing a company, itself backed by the government, that monitors the web in real time and says it uses the information to predict the future. So how do they get the Pentagon people to go along with this? They have them retire. They go in to this software company, and now they get a profit from surveilling the public. Here's another one. Technology identifies troubled individuals. Pre-crime. The Buffalo News. Imagine using the same technology to locate a lone bomber before he carries out his terrorist act, to identify a troubled veteran or first responder ground down by tragedies and violence. Stop imagining. Then it goes into law enforcement now using all of this software of pre-crime where, oh, we're arresting you because the actuaries show you're a criminal. This is the system. You talk about RAND helping develop a DARPA, what we know as the internet. Here's another one. U.S. should be able to shut down the internet, former CIA chief says, the disgraced former head of the CIA. New cybersecurity bill gives Obama power to shut down companies that don't agree to go under Homeland Security control. Then they hand out little Homeland Security clearances to all of these private corporate people that the Washington Post reported on, top secret USA. Now they're under government control, plus they're getting supplemental money, and they're on a power trip turning everyone into spies. Is this not the scientific dictatorship backed by the military-industrial complex literally slowly taking over and re-engineering our entire society to where the only jobs you'll be able to get are basically in Homeland Security-related systems? This is taking over our entire economic and social environment where it's impossible to revolt because we are literally married to this system.
Not only that, we're not even aware sometimes that this is what's going on, because we take as correct all these premises that we are always devoted to numbers, that we're always just seeking self-gratification, they're only thinking of ourselves. This is why when the United States goes to countries like Iraq or goes to a place like Afghanistan and meets up with hideous people such as the Taliban, but people who are not afraid to die, they don't know how to deal with that, because those people do not think in terms of numbers. They think in terms of causes. They think in terms that go beyond the individual. And that's when we run aground. And that's the problem that, you know, we're gonna have whenever we go to a foreign country. But again, I mean, what I want to emphasize is that we have to get away from this. We have to realize that we're not machines. We're not economic processes. We are human beings. We are people. And we are Americans. And we are citizens, which means we have responsibilities, and which means also that we have privileges and rights. We're not consumers. We should go away, get away from this whole concept of whatever is, whatever we can get at the lowest cost, because we have to think that there are reasons, there are things that go beyond all this that are more important than money. And as long as we keep buying that kind of rationale for our thinking, we're going to keep sinking further and further into this morass, and we're going to be even more susceptible to the kind of technocratic dictatorship that you have been talking about.
Well, again, Mr. Abeya, you went right to the documents and found the same thing. I'm just going off what they say. In fact, right over here for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, and it's clear I'm going to get you up for a full 2 hours in the near future because your knowledge is so great. It's so refreshing and buoying when I do connect with people like you who see it, because we're literally losing our soul. But here's National Intelligence Council, ISS, European Union, Global Governance 2025 at a critical juncture. Give me a document cam shot. And the National Intelligence Council, Global Trends 2025, a transformed world, they say that by 2025, they're going to have us totally drugged, totally brainwashed, and that they're going to start genetically engineering us as literal suboids. I'm not the one saying this, and that they're going to just basically kill the majority of us. Has your research brought you into this? Because I'm showing these reports. I've read the quotes, you know, in the last 2 years on air. I mean, this is so diabolical. This is what they call full spectrum dominance. Did you run into any of the transhumanist, eugenicist, human engineering plans when you were researching these people?
No, unfortunately, those are top secret, and I was not granted top secret access to those things. That's something I know that's those are subjects that RAND obviously has looked at. I wouldn't say it, you know, to be fair about this, I wouldn't say that they are totally involved in this. But what you have to realize is that if you set the parameters, if you set the background, if you say, yeah, you can do that because that is a rational thing to do, you're falling into that kind of trap. So even though they may not be the ones who actually set up the test tubes, who actually shoot you give you the injection, they're the ones who are saying, that is the right thing to do, and go ahead and do it.
Yeah, they're the brains that set up the new philosophy or thought paradigm that says survival of the fittest, because that's what they state. They say if we don't do this, someone else will do it. And they say if we don't have full spectrum dominance, somebody's going to set up a new weapon system that will destroy the earth. So we've got to take over with pure hard-nosed evil, to kind of like Churchill said, the truth must be guarded by a bodyguard of lies.
Right, exactly. And so it's just awful because, which is my main point, which is it's a lack of ethical considerations. Nowhere, when you deal with people like this, do you get an approach of thinking, well, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? It's just a very simple thing that we're taught when we're children. You know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't hit Johnny if he hasn't done anything to you. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't do things that are bad because they're ethics. These guys don't think in terms of ethics.
Well, what happened 9 years ago? The media tried to sell us that torture was good, even of people's children.
Exactly.
And Jack Bauer was our hero.
Yes, I know. It was appalling. Well, at least Jack Bauer always apologized in a way, and it's because it had to be done. But, I mean, these other guys, they laughed about it. Remember Abu Ghraib? They made a joke out of it. And we were torturing these people. Regardless of whether they deserved it or not, we are Americans. We don't torture. We don't do that. But, undeniably, we were doing it, and it was authorized at the highest level of the government. I'm ashamed every time I think of that. I'm ashamed of being American when I hear those things.
Well, so you know, sir, they have declassified a lot of this. I mean, I'm reading to you from Global Governance 2025, National Intelligence Council, yeah. European Union Security Studies Division, and then I've got the Pentagon U.S. Division here. In the second report, Global Trends 2025, A Transformed World, where they talk about turning us into biological androids, and they say the trend is we will be biological androids by 2025. By that, they will totally have full-spectrum brainwashing through television, through the culture. They say they're going to remove all of our false morals so they can pre-program. So that's why they don't like real Christians. That's why they don't like Muslims. You can make a judgment about radical Muslims that they're bad or whatever. I mean, I'm not even defending their view of stoning women or whatever. Right. My point is they don't fit into the corporate Borg. The Borg have landed, and it's the Pentagon thinkers, and they're saying we're going to wipe everybody out. And so anybody that doesn't fit in their system, anybody that can see our television and can tell it's brainwashing, even if they are cavemen beating their wives, they're coming in and saying, we're going to wipe these people out then.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. We have to take back our country. We cannot allow these people to impose this kind of thinking on us. That's not what America is all about. And as you're talking about androids, you know, in a way, it doesn't surprise me because, you know, a lot of this, these plans came out of a very obscure office out of the Pentagon, and I'm sure you're aware of it, called the Office of Net Assessment.
Yes.
Andrew Marshall. And, of course, Andrew Marshall was one of the founders of RAND.
Is he still alive?
There. He's 89 years old,
yeah.
And he's still running it.
Well, no, he was in Wired 2 years ago saying, in the future, it will be the drugs our troops are on, not the weapons. And he talks about how to be in the military, but you're going to get like $1 million a year, they're going to put wiring in your head.
Right, exactly. We're machines. We'll become machines.
No, it is Marshall. I mean, you know everything. No, that's what the Marshall at 89 is the grand architect, and he says we're all going to be androids. He thinks he's going to live forever. Have you seen his quotes on that?
Yes, I have.
I mean, he's definitely getting massive life extension right now. That guy runs around like he's 25 years old.
Absolutely. So, you know, and he's still there, and not only that.
But see, that's the ultimate sellout, sir. Will you sell out? Will I sell out for the life extension?
You know, God put me here for a certain lifespan, and when it's my turn to go, I will go.
You're a beautiful person, Alex. I tell you, this guy's incredible. I don't think I've had anybody on in years with this knowledge. I usually say this stuff, people think I'm making it up, but to talk to somebody that actually knows it, sir, stay there. We're going to tell folks how to get your book, final segment, but I want to get you with my producer because I want to get you on in the next month for 2 full hours. This is incredible.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Abaya is our guest. You'll definitely hear him back in the near future for a full 2 hours. The website is alexabaya.com. The book is Shadow Enemies. Was a previous book. The latest is Soldiers of Reason, the RAND Corporation, the American Empire. This is cold-blooded scientific dictatorship going back 150 years to Galton and others. They were commissioned by the British government my film Endgame covers it, to come up with a scientific way of full dominance. By the 50s, they called it full spectrum dominance. And the most horrible things you can imagine is their plan. Once they get the Pentagon in your daily life, the secret police, this control grid, 20% of Americans on psychotropic drugs, it's only the beginning. Destroying the family, forcing people into the workforce, both the man and the woman. It's all a master plan, and we'll talk about this more with him in the future. But in the 4 minutes we've got left, then we're going into overdrive with Mr. Lott, the professor, who was going to be speaking at UT tonight, but they canceled it because of the shooting. We're going to be talking to John Lott coming up via cell phone from a car. But, sir, you've got the floor in the last 4 minutes.
Well, nothing. I just wanted to mention that the original title that I had for the book, which was changed with my editor, was Soldiers of Reason, the RAND Corporation, and the Rise of the New World Order. So, I mean, obviously they have been playing along with this. They have been planning it. They have been part of it. They're proud of it. And I just feel that this is something that we all have to do something about. We cannot allow this kind of thinking to prevail. That's not America. That's not our country.
Well, that's not humanity. I mean, humanity as we know it is over under these people's rule.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're extending their control over us every day. And the funny thing is that it's being done in such, you know, small measures, so gradually. It's like, you know, like the story of the frog, right? How to keep the frog from jumping out, right? You gradually increase the water temperature. So, like, in the end, it cooks without even realizing that it's dying. And that's what's happening to this country. That's why, in a way, the first thing, this is one of the things I want to do with my book. I want people to regain their minds, because it all starts with your mind, with your conception. Your thoughts are everything, and how you see the world. And once you have knowledge, once you're aware of that, then you can begin to take it back.
Alex, our logo here with Alex Jones at InfoWars.com is, because there's a war on for your mind. Becoming aware of this full spectrum assault is the beginning of victory. To use one of their own terms, knowing is half the battle. We have to face up to the cold-blooded, almost reptilian attack. And by reptilian, you know, that primitive, unfeeling, just instinctive will to dominate. And everybody working for this compartmentalized system needs to get outside the box and see the big picture.
Absolutely, because it's all so seductive. It's so seductive. I mean, you know, who doesn't want a nice car? Who doesn't want a big house and all the accoutrements that go with it? But, you know, first of all, you're not going to get it. And second of all, even if you do get it, there's nothing there, because then you're always, it's like a spinning wheel, you know, it's like you're going round and round and round. You never quite achieve what you want, because you're being trapped in a world in which everything is illusory, and in which everything is like you're being tantalized by these things that you just have to go back and claim your humanity. And that's what we have to do.
Well, exactly. And people inside the power structure, billionaires and others I've talked to, they're scared. They know. They're trying to get mountain redoubts, you know, on Pacific islands, and are literally preparing for the end of the world. And I say, why? And they go, there'll be nothing left. They're you know, they're taking it all over you. You're right. And I mean, this is full spectrum dominance. But we don't need those wealthy people part of the power structure to run from what their associates have created. We have to have an open public debate about this and say, no.
Absolutely.
I'm not taking microchips in my brain.
That's right.
You know, I don't want Google tracking everything I'm doing. I don't want to be forced on drugs. I don't want to be a biological android. Alex, we salute you. I'm going to have my producers call you here in about 3 minutes. God bless you, sir. I hope everybody reads your book.
All right. Thank you.
Amazing interview. We are in fourth hour overdrive for the second day in a row because of breaking news and information. I just want to say that Alex Abaya interview may have been one of the most important we've ever done. This is directly from the RAND Corporation, the Ford Foundation, a top writer breaking down for you the full spectrum dominance, world government, end of humanity as we know it. All of us are in this together against this tiny technocratic elite. Now, John Lott, the professor, is scheduled to be on with us in the next 3 minutes. I'm on Russia Today at 3. I've got IT people here about the social network. I've got to leave in about 20 minutes and go to retransmission from the middle of our live reports today from Austin with the shooting. But I'll just say it right now. The first thing I thought of was the student movement nationwide having success in many states to get concealed carry passed to be on state campuses. And that was the first thing. It was a false flag. Then we heard about another shooter and then a guy killing himself and shooting a gun in the air before he did it. Will they release the videotapes? And then it came out, Statesman reported, the law schools now admitted they have canceled John Lott Jr., one of the most preeminent Second Amendment scholars in the world, probably the most preeminent scholar, who's a best-selling author of More Guns, Less Crime. They canceled his speech in Austin at the law school because of the shooting. The message is, guns are bad. You're not allowed to have your free speech. On Tuesday, September 28th, 6 p.m., a coalition of student organizations on the University of Texas campus in Austin, including the Libertarian Longhorns, the UT Students for Concealed Carry on Campus, the UT Objectivism Society, and the UT Federalist Society, will be hosting John Lott, famed defender of gun rights and author of the book More Guns, Less Crime. Lott's work in More Guns, Less Crime is commonly cited by many liberty-minded people when arguing against gun control laws, and Lott will be sharing some of his expertise in this field to the audience of students and members of the community of Austin. Not anymore. They canceled it. Austin has been a hotbed of debate over the potential of state laws being passed that would make it illegal for a person to carry a concealed handgun or on college campuses. If you are in Austin area on the 28th, stop by the UT Law School near John and hear John Lott discuss the negatives of gun control and the positives of a free society. That was canceled. But we're told at 6 p.m. tonight, Brave New Books, which right off the drag and only holds about 100 people, so better get there early. In fact, I want our team down there. So we definitely want to get our team down there early to videotape this. This is very, very important. Okay, we go now to Professor John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime. We're going to skip this break because we only have him for about 10 minutes or so. Professor Lott, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. We've had you on many times over the years, but not in these circumstances. What do you think of the foggy one-person shooting, the individual reportedly shooting themselves, and now the UT Law School canceling your event? Did they tell you why they canceled it?
Well, I mean, I think the law school's on lockdown right now. There have been some concern earlier in the week, the dean for the law school had expressed concern about me talking about this subject, so I think there's some trepidation to begin with, but I think it's right now it's broader than just me.
So now talking about something might not be allowed in America because guns are so evil. You know, they come out of their cases at night and stalk people and kill them like a pit bull. Of course, we know that's not true. So how were you notified that it was canceled?
Well, the students just set it up, told me, but they're doing it off campus right now at a bookstore nearby.
Yes, Brave New Books, sir. What is your view on this shooting? I mean, the answer is more people with guns. If he would have started shooting people, there would have a better chance for folks to defend themselves instead of getting in a fetal position.
Right. Well, I mean, because of my research over the years, I have ended up talking to lots and lots of people who have been having to confront these horrible situations. And the feelings of helplessness is something that people just see all the time. But, you know, my concern is that the types of bans that we have at some place like UT merely serves as a magnet for these types of attacks to occur. I suppose the easiest way to phrase this is, let's say somebody was really threatening you or your family. Would you feel safer putting a sign up in front of the home, your home, saying that this home was a gun-free zone? Would that make it less likely that they would attack? And I think most people's reaction would be, it wouldn't be very bright to put a sign like that up because you're merely telling the attacker that they don't have much to worry about when they go in there, that people aren't going to be able to stop them. And it's inconsistent with the academic research that's there. And UT, I guess, is trying to put more armed guards and others around, but the problem is, same problem that Israel, for example, experienced, and that is, you know, if you put two soldiers on a bus, the terrorist has two options. They can either wait for those people to leave before they engage in their attack, or those are the first people that they take out. And so Israel, for decades, tried to put more and more police and military on the street, and after 72, realized that that just wasn't working, and they started letting its citizens carry concealed handguns. That's the reason why you have 15% of adult Israeli Jews who carry concealed handguns now in the country.
Best-selling author, researcher John Lott is here. He's exposed the anti-gun lobby, the victim disarmament lobby, for producing fraudulent reports, and some professors have been defrocked or lost their tenure for claiming that this our revolution wasn't predominantly over the Second Amendment or that gun ownership was lower than it really was. I mean, this is the heart of a free society, being armed. The first gun laws were against blacks after the Civil War and the supposed freeing of the slaves. Roman slaves 2,000 years ago were disarmed. I mean, it's very elementary. And, sir, at the Blacksburg, Virginia Tech shooting, they had just allowed students to have concealed carry there and it had rallies. The movement's now picked up steam around the country, as you know. The polls are shifting towards the vast majority being pro-Second Amendment because of your research and the common sense approach. Is this not, I mean, very coincidental that you had a lone shooter who fires a gun reportedly and then shoots himself, and reportedly somebody else shooting a gun on a street corner the day that your speech that they already...
I just think that's purely coincidental. But they, you know, you bring up the Virginia Tech, I think there are multiple lessons from that, but one of the lessons is, you know, we ban guns from areas like Virginia Tech did in order to try to make things safer, you know. But the problem is, who obeys these laws? If you're a law-abiding student who's able to go and have a permanent concealed handgun or a faculty member and carry it virtually any place in the state, except for the campus, if you carry it on the campus, and let's say you're a student, you're going to get expelled if you get caught. If you're a faculty member, you're going to get fired. If you get fired or expelled for firearm-related violation, your academic career is over. You're not going to be able to go to law school again or undergraduate. You're not going to go to any place, probably to college, with a firearm violation like that on your record. If you're a faculty member who gets fired for that, your academic career is over. You're not going to get hired with that type of black mark on your record. But, you know, the notion, so law-abiding citizens who do these things, their lives are going to be unawfully changed if they get caught for carrying a permanent concealed handgun. But if a criminal who killed 32 people, who may already be facing, if they had lived, 32 death penalties or 32 life sentences, to me the notion of somehow threatening to get expulsion to the list of penalties is going to be the penalty that's going to make it so that they won't commit this crime. It's just nuts, though. I mean, even if you were to add a few years in prison, but, you know, what you end up doing with these laws, having them so that law-abiding good citizens obey them and not the criminals, and rather than making places safe for the victim, you unintentionally make it so that the criminals have less to worry about. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to run.
I've got one more question for you. Coming up 6 o'clock, Brave New Books this evening. People can come down there. There'll sure to be a lot of press as well. Let me ask you this question. When the media comes in and attacks you and says, don't you feel bad now that you were here calling for guns and look what's happened, what is your response going to be to them?
My response is the same that I've given to you, it may be unintuitive for some people to have the notion that self-defense can deter criminals from engaging in crime, but just as you can deter criminals with higher arrest rates or longer prison sentences, the fact that a would-be victim can defend himself can also make it risky for criminals to engage in crime and deter some of them from doing it. And you have a particularly large effect when you're talking about multiple victim public shootings. Even if you only have a few percent probability that any one adult may have a concealed handgun with them, if you have 50 people or 100 people or 450 people, like in the Virginia Tech case, who are in the vicinity, and the probability that at least someone who's unknown to the attacker, is going to be able to defend themselves essentially 100%.
All right, Mr. Lott, in closing, because I know you've got to go and you're on your cell, In closing, we've also seen these victim disarmament zones, the statistics now that in states that have passed concealed carry that have had over 20% crime rates that you've so well documented, now the criminals are gravitating towards university reservations, knowing that there are disarmed people there, and we're seeing muggings, robberies, rapes, murders exploding everywhere. Is that why this big student movement for guns on campus is growing?
Well, I don't know how much, that there's been that much of an explosion of crime on campuses. You do have some movement from criminals from places where it's riskier for them to do it to places where it's not as risky. That's really true. Unfortunately, I really apologize, but I have to leave now.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Professor John Lott. Take care. All right, there he goes. We went into overdrive to cover that. With him. We're going to have continuing reports on all of this at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And obviously, he's lined up with a whole passel of interviews. But if you go to PrisonPlanet.com right now, we have amazing coincidence. UT shooting cancels pro-gun speech. And this Paul Joseph Watson article gets into all of this. A shooting at the University of Texas campus that was initially blamed on one lone nut took on a political aspect after it emerged that the incident coincided with a speech by Second Amendment expert John Lott about the right to conceal carry that was due to take place tonight, but has since been canceled. Make sure Watson adds that it's now at Brave New Books. And he just goes through the history of government staging these events. And you notice Lott didn't want to go there, but I tell you, was it a lone nut angry about the pro-Second Amendment event who went and did it? That's breaking news. We need to get that added at the top of Watson's article, that the dean of the law school was already not liking this pro-Second Amendment subject and thought it was dangerous to talk about it. Dangerous to talk about it at the UT Law School. Dangerous to talk about students having guns to protect themselves. Look at how the criminals gravitate towards Chicago and New York with their gun bans. Look at their crime rates, 2, 3, 4, 5 times per year, depending on what year it is, other national crime rates. Look at the facts. And, folks, I'll tell you right now, that's why this radio broadcast, and get ready to go back to retransmission. We'll join the show and rebroadcast. Can we do that in a moment, or you want to wait till break? Okay, we'll get, about 2 minutes, we're going to break. Or we'll join live transmission from when this was all being broken down this morning live on air and all the other economic news I went over. That's why this radio show is possible, is because you're supporting us. That's why we're here in Austin and could cover this and bring John Lott on and bring on that researcher earlier about the full spectrum dominance, literal beast grid. It is so essential that this radio show not just continue, but that this radio broadcast expand. And I'm asking you now, I'm begging you to get all of my films, make copies, and continue to give them to everyone you know. Put them on Access Television. Tell your friends and family via email, MySpace, Facebook, how to tune in at Infowars.com, the free podcast, the live streams, the free iPhone app. If you're listening on a local AM or FM, get out there with a sandwich board and tell people at the red light, tune into this radio station now. We can defeat the globalist when you realize that you are the answer. Look in the mirror. You are the answer. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. We have got to get on this now. And we're trying in this imploding economy with our audience exploding, but the funds staying the same or going down, to go to the next level. And that's why we're having the October 14th InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com money bomb. And people are starting to give right now. That's good. We've got a big goal, and it needs to start now, but really culminate and race on that day. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. I mean, you know what it's like to have 2, 3, 4 million people visiting you a week and having multimedia, what that cost us? Over $20,000 a month of bandwidth. 20 employees and contractors. The studios, the equipment, all of it. We need your support, ladies and gentlemen. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We've got the new DVD if you want to pre-order it so you get it first. The amazing film on chemtrails. What in the world are they spraying? Produced by G. Edward Griffin. We're going to get it first. It's now pre-ordered. You can pre-order it at InfoWars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Because always, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about funding the operation, but the double-edged operation of these films, these books, these materials are our info weapons. So it supports the base operation and then disseminates the info out to everyone. That's the key integration that we're talking about here. And I just want to say the crew today did one of the best jobs I've ever done. First-class radio production, small crew working, getting the gas, getting it all together, doing the research. First-rate job with Phil and Jaron and Matt and Marley and Matt and we got two Matts, everybody, and Jason Douglas and the crew in the back and the customer service and everybody that brings this operation together. This is historical. We're exposing the world government for real and having an effect to the point that Glenn Beck has to mimic us, but then tell you it's a few professors that run it all. You know, the world government's real, and there's naked body scanners and 500 scanners on the streets, but it's Obama. Obama runs it. No, the RAND Corporation runs it. The Council on Foreign Relations runs it. They want full-spectrum dominance. Our government created the UN to go outside and then take over the U.S. Our government and the British government finance the communist. This is the big truth. This is the massive information. This is what will set us free. Every day I look at my children. Every day I look at them. We're just going to go to break here. I'm going to go to the end here. Every day I tell you this because it's what happens every day. I look at my beautiful, smart, magical, enlightened, full of creativity and the human spirit. And I think about that line from The Road with Viggo Mortensen when Robert Duvall is saying, the father says, my son is a god. And by God, he means beautiful and wonderful and the only thing good to him in life and just so wonderful. And Duvall says, on the road, you know, having a god is dangerous. And you see a window into God's creation when you look at the Milky Way, when you look at the Himalayan mountains, when you look at the ocean, when you see a flower or ants on the ground, you just see it. And when you look into your children, you see the purity of what humans are and should be. And then you look at the RAND Corporation and the Pentagon and their death and their robot swords and their openly wanting to drug us and put microchips in our heads and saying they're going to do it and how they're going to incrementally roll it out, or you got to have it to have a job. And you realize how hellish this is. You realize how horrible and unspeakably evil it is. And you look, you say, don't judge a book by its cover. When you look at Hayden, the former head of the CIA, when you look at Marshall at the Pentagon, when you look at these people and you look at Larry Summers and you look at them, they just seethe dark energy and destruction. They hate God's creation. They want to remake it, the world, in a charnel house of blood, death, and destruction. Beauty to them is ashes and rotten bodies and stench and carrion crows and just dust in the air. Our species and everything we are is under threat. I'm not worried about being killed. I'm not worried about being demonized. I'm not worried about them inventing lies about me and more attacks coming, because I know at the end of the day, I have a heart that loves God and loves goodness, and I'm not perfect. Lord knows I've got a wicked streak a mile wide. We all do. But I can recognize it, and I know I want to be good. I know I love God. I know that there is a spiritual realm. I know that there's mysteries in this universe. Like they say in Othello, you know, there's more in heaven and earth, Othello, than in all your books. Read the Shakespeare, understand it, know it. The globalists know there's another dimension, another reality. And they want to shut your eyes, shut your spirit to all this information. Retransmission starts now, 20 minutes into hour number 4. I go further, but I got IT people I got to talk to, and I'll be on RT Live in T-minus 40 minutes. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Every day is a blessing. Every day is a gift. Every day is wonderful. I'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Don't forget to support the InfoWar.